What's going on? Rob Cisternino here with some special Survivor 35 postseason coverage. And I'm so excited today to get into everything with the winner of Survivor 35, Ben Driebergen. He will be our special guest here today. We'll talk through everything from his 39-day trip to Fiji, where he ultimately came back as the sole survivor in the 35th season of Survivor. So we'll get into all of that here in this episode. We'll work on a couple more of these postseason interviews as well before we get to the start of Ghost Island. So be on the lookout for that as well. And make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Rob has a website.com/iTunes for that. I've got no ads for you. I've got no sponsors to thank. All I'm going to say is we're going to spend somewhere between 2 and 3 hours talking to the winner of a Survivor season. If that is the kind of thing that you like having in the world, check out our Patreon program to see how you can support Rob Has a Podcast. Go even deeper into all of this nonsense. I believe we have 184 pieces of patron-only content available for you on demand. I believe there are currently 188 pieces of patron-only content that are available for you that are unlocked once you become a patron of Rob Has a Podcast. Find out more about all of that, our Facebook group, and all of the other incentives that are waiting for you when you check out robhasawebsite.com/patron, or check out the video there, which explains even more about what we're doing on Patreon. All right, everybody, I'm very excited to bring in our guest today. I've been looking forward to catching up with him. Of course, you know him as a great champion of the Wand Off and the winner of Survivor Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers, the great Ben Driebergen. Ben, how are you?
Good, Rob. How you doing, bud?
Very excited, awesome. Ben. I've been looking forward to talking with you and hearing about your entire experience to get to this point.
Yeah. This is like one of the pinnacle moments, right? Get to talk to you after the game.
For
and
you.
And
yes.
The games.
Yes.
Right? Well, yeah, I guess.
It doesn't get much better than that. Ben,
yeah.
I've been very excited to do this interview really since the season was over. And thank you for coming on with us to talk about it. And I've been, before we get into, what happened on the show, what's life been like for you since December 20th? You win $1 million on TV. What's the last couple of weeks been like for you?
Well, I just went back to work last week. So I just finished my first week of work. And we're just back to trying to live a normal life, podcasts and interviews and stuff kind of are all new to us. But yeah, kids are back in school off winter break, and we're just trying to figure out how to get back to normal here real quick.
Do people treat you any differently at work?
Yeah. A lot of them are looking at me like with surprise, like, what are you doing here? Why did you come back?
Mm-hmm.
So everyone's real happy, obviously. And, for them, it was quite the show. So, and quite the season.
So I think a lot of people know about your Marine background, but I went back to listen to the interviews that you did with Josh in the preseason. I just wanted to hear a little bit more about who you were coming into the game. Could you talk a little bit about what you currently do? Because I think that people think that maybe you are just only a Marine.
Yeah. No, I stack groceries in a distribution center. So, for grocery stores and everything, we load them on trucks and ship them out, and we receive product. And I work in a warehouse and pick 6 to 7,000 pounds of groceries a day. That's what I do now. So not too exciting.
You said,
right?
It was a great job. You said you like it.
I do. I mean, it does. It's what the family needs right now. It's great insurance, good retirement, and the benefits and everything, and it's good pay. So I'm still able to work. Why not just bear down and work this out, but we'll see what happens. Opportunities might arise but for now it serves its purpose.
Do you ever have an issue with stacking something upside down? Is that been a problem?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that didn't take long. Jeez, Rob. Wow. They tell us not to do that.
You won. It doesn't sting.
It doesn't. It does sting, though, the you and I will forever have a special bond. The upside down you for sure. My phone has already started putting ends in. It knows too. I don't know how the hell it does, but yeah. Anyways, yeah. No, they look down at that at work. You don't want stuff spilling everywhere. So
right. Could you tell me where are you from originally? You told Josh like seven different cities that you spent time in before ultimately ending up in Boise. So where did you start?
Yeah, you know, I was born and raised here in Boise, Idaho, back when it was, a really small town. We had the streetlight rule where as soon as the streetlights came on, that's when you had to get back in the house. So, but yeah, this is where I want to raise my family. It's a good little town. And well, it's a little big town now, but it's fun. It's a fun town.
Is that where your wife is from also?
No, she's from Grangeville. So that's up north in Idaho. And that's a little mountain town, beautiful town surrounded by mountains and a little valley, pine trees for miles. And it's a really neat little town. We go up there every once in a while for the 4th of July. You know, they got the egg toss and the whole carnival down the street with the one blinking, stoplight. So it's a good town.
No, of course, you have your experience with the Marines. You told Josh that I think you enlisted, was it 2003? And I was just curious to know what made you decide to go into the Marines at that time?
Well, so obviously, 2001, like September 11th, sure. Right? I graduated in 2001. And, I played football and everything. It was wanting to go to college and expected to go to college. And that kind of went south. And I was just doing nothing with life. And my family is a military background. And, I was sitting on the couch one day. I was like, yeah, I should probably do something. So I went down to the recruiting center and enlisted for the Marines. So, it was that quick and easy of a decision, I guess.
Yeah. And then how long were you in the Marines?
So I was in the Marine for about like 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. And then I got out. And then that's when the whole like crazy journey of life really started,
I know you talked about a lot on the show about how your wife helped you with recovering from everything that you went through when you were dealing with and when you had come back from fighting in Iraq. Did you know Kelly at that point or you met her after you got back?
Yeah, no, I met her after I got back and quite a while actually after I got back. I was running a bar, had it and was going to hire her. And my partner and I were kind of on the outs. And so I was getting ready, like when her first day of work was when I found out I was going to close the bar down. So she showed up and she's like, I'm ready to work. And I'm like, yeah, we're going to just throw a big going away party for a while. And so I took her out to dinner, instead. And, one thing led to the next and we've been, together ever since. So it was a blessing and a curse, but I'm so happy and fortunate it turned out the way it did with her. She definitely is an amazing woman and she puts up with me and blessed me with two beautiful kids. So I can't repay her and thank her enough.
Yeah. And you talked about also with Josh, how you guys have a weekly survivor night that you had been watching the show for a while. And she was the one who pushed you to send in the application. What did you do in the tape?
So yeah, she's like, put your money where your mouth is there, mister. And, I sat out on my front porch and used this little iPad here and just talked to it and kind of just told them, who I am and what I've done and what I want to do on Survivor, and it was just me, I didn't church anything up or anything, it was just me. So, that's all I did. And then it took a while, but yeah, once they got back, it was pretty. That first phone call is like, holy cow. I thought they forgot about me, but yeah, it was crazy.
Did you feel good going through the casting process? Did you feel like this is definitely going to go in that direction? Or were you sort of like doubting it the whole time?
Never. I doubted it the entire way through. I remember being at work. We were down in Texas setting up a new warehouse and I was doing a lot of stuff down there. And I was like, there's just no way, because I was down in the hotel lobby, like talking with people and trying to send emails and faxes, and Yeah, I've never, even when like we were in LA getting ready to leave, I still was like, yeah, they can still make a cut, you know? And so once you're on the, once I was on the boat with Jeff and he's like, welcome to, you know, season 35. That's when I knew it was real, but I always doubted it. Like, cause you don't want to be so excited and then get let down. Right.
Yeah.
And so I was always like, there's a chance that I'm not going. There's a chance that I'm not going.
Did you feel like that if you got out there, you had a good shot to win, or were you just sort of like the whole time feeling like the rug was about to be pulled out from under you?
You know, no, I did. Like my wife and I, you know, we watched the show, we're fans, and you know, I had this whole game plan and it was like, I felt good about it. Right. Mm-hmm. And, the game plan was, okay, don't let people know you're a Marine and don't let people know you're a dad. And so on the boat, when Jeff's like, welcome to, you know, yeah, Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers, I looked around at my tribe and was like, oh no, shit. Right. Like,
yeah.
And so, and then he's like, hey, you in the cowboy hat, why would you be considered a hero? And I was like, I'm a dad and I'm a Marine. I mean, I don't know. And mm-hmm. So my game was blown out right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And at that moment I was like, yeah, you're not going to make it very far.
No, but I did. I went back. I watched a lot of the season today to get ready to do this. And, you know, it's the opening minute of the show. And Jeff is going like, hey, you right there, cowboy hat. Tell me about it. So what's it like being a hero? And,
yeah,
you know, and you end up giving that line about, you know, some people would say that we are just doing our job. And he's like, yeah, that's exactly what a hero would say.
Yeah. 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 But that's that, you know, that is the truth on like a real note. Like, we are young kids and young men and women out there, and it's just our jobs, you know. And I think people should realize that that's who is defending us, is a bunch of young kids. And, you know, it's who we are and it's what we do. But it's not, we're not out there for like medals. Right. Nobody mm-hmm. like nobody goes out and runs around looking for medals. It's not like you just want to bring everybody back, and that's your job and that's our job. So yeah, the hero label for myself and not, you know, most military people is not something we like to be titled under, you know?
So when you got out there and you saw that you were on a tribe that was literally labeled heroes, was that something that was off-putting for you?
Yes, because we're, you know, that's, it was an all alpha tribe, right? Like in my eyes, because yeah, Alan, Ashley, and even JP, even though JP is JP, who's, he's an amazing guy. He, when he talks, he is very stern and he talks with, you know, Mike, when JP gets down to it, he knows what he's doing, you mm-hmm. know? And then you got Katrina, who is a wonderful, beautiful ray of light, and Chrissy.
Keep shining.
Keep shining. Yes. Yes. Keep shining. And Chrissy, who doesn't seem like an alpha, but she definitely is, you know? And so, it was kind of easy. I was very quiet on that tribe. You know, I think all of us were, because it was, you know, almost like a bomb waiting to go off.
Yeah. A Ben bomb?
or no, it was more of a pant, you know, pant drop situation. Yeah. Or something like that. I don't know, you know.
Well, that was one of the things that in the first episode is really dominated by the Heroes tribe. I mean, you guys, you don't end up going back to a tribal council for the entire rest of the pre-merge. But I mean, you guys are really all over that first episode, and there's the whole core four, which is formed very early on, and you started working with Alan right off the bat. What was it about Alan that made you feel like that was a good partner for you?
Oh man, Alan and I clicked, right? Alan, he wore, I think it was like a ring or something, and then a dog tag around his neck. And so I knew he was like a family man, and obviously he was an athlete. I didn't know what he did. And funny situation is, like, we're sitting there talking, like walking back from the well, and somehow we got like football, right? We were on the thing of football. I was like, yeah, did you ever play? And he's like, well, I played college or something like that. And he's like, did you? I was like, yeah, I played high school. So then I'm reliving my like high school glory mm-hmm. days to this NFL player that I don't even know is an NFL player, but you're like, you know, back in 12th grade, I rushed for, 400 yards. Like, oh, and then I find out he's an NFL star. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, man.
When did you find that out?
Not till after the game, I think. Maybe I heard it on the beach at the merge, but after the game for sure. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to him about like body fat and stuff because he said he was a trainer.
Yeah.
I was like, what body fat are you? And he told me, I was like, what about me? He's like, I think he lowballed me too. He's like, I don't know, maybe like 17. I'm like, yeah, that sounds pretty good. I'm pretty sure he lowballed me because I was packing some.
Yeah, so he had game, Alan. He was ready to tell people what they want to hear.
Dude, it was great. I was good with 17%.
Yeah. And there was a lot of talk about the core four versus the mom squad, which then, it came to pass that the mom squad wasn't so much of a thing. But in your mind, in those first couple of days, like, was the mom squad actually a thing that was going on?
I think like 15 minutes or what, like 2 hours maybe into building. Obviously, that's the first thoughts going into it, right? Like, you see the tribe, there's the two older women, and then the four, younger, but you got Ashley and JP who are young, and then Al and I who are in our 30s. So it was an easy target to start the game, right?
Yeah.
Not knowing anybody and not talking to anybody.
And then we have that infamous moment where Alan is getting very paranoid about JP and Ashley to the point that we get the idol strip search. Now, you don't seem to be around during that scene. Did you just hear about that secondhand?
No. So I was actually in the shelter. And if you go back, you'll see my head like pop up and kind of look, I could see the commotion like going on. I could see the three of them down there. I didn't know until Ash came back and was like, Alan made JP pull his pants down. I'm like, what is going on? Because, I thought that core four was pretty strong. And then here's Alan, convinced that JP and Ashley have an idol. And one thing led to the next, and it was like Magic Mike out there on the beach.
Did Alan confide in you about any of the concerns that he had?
Yeah, he did. And I was like, there's no way it's an idol. And but I believed at first he thought he saw something. And so then I was like, well, do you think it might have been a clue? And he was like, oh, it could have been a clue. But I was like, well, we got to get through this first vote first. Like, we're good here. Like, no reason to blow it up now. Let's just pump the brakes a little. Mm. And then next thing you know, the beach was going down and Ash came back and told me, and I was like, oh no, no, that is not someone you want to start the game with,
Yeah.
Unfortunately, because I love Alan. Alan's awesome. He's a great guy. But he just came out a little too hot.
So you guys would ultimately lose that first challenge. And then you guys come back to the beach. And then Alan starts talking with Katrina about what's going to go on with the vote. And I wasn't sure if that was sort of like, was that a fake out for Katrina? Or was he like really entertaining the idea of getting rid of, I think it was Ashley they were talking about?
We did try to pacify Katrina, right? Mm-hmm. And I think Ashley was the name we were throwing around for her to believe, right? But I think Alan really was not, I don't know, because you see him at Tribal, right? And like everything was supposed to be good. And then at Tribal, he's like, I'm not crazy, I'm confident. And it was just like, oh man, what is going on? Like, this is not for me, going to Tribal first was horrible. And to watch this like blow up and this destruction of what's supposed to be an easy vote at, I was just like, oh, this is crazy.
Yeah. So at that point, the core four was fractured after Katrina went home. You said it's like painted over rust, I think was the quote. It's cracked like old paint.
Old paint, yes.
Yeah.
Some old paint, yeah.
And so that you end up sort of like in search of somebody new to work with closely. And that's at the same point where Chrissy is looking to find a number one ally in the game. And you and Chrissy end up striking up this partnership. Now, Were you guys as close as the show made it seem in the early days of the game?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, with Alan, I still wanted to obviously work with Alan, but I wasn't ready to like go through the game with Alan. Right. And Chrissy is a smart woman. She talks very intelligently. And so for, you know, the ploy was to be like the power couple that no one knew was a power couple almost, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, we were definitely close and talked a lot of game at the Heroes Beach. Yeah. At first.
So then you guys would stay together for basically, you know, the next two rounds. You guys don't go to tribal council. There's some talk about who is going to be the person who would have gone home. What do you think it would have been if you guys would have went to another tribal council? It's it seems like the conversation is JP or Alan.
Yeah. So I honestly, Chrissy was really going for Ashley after Katrina went home. JP was viewed as, you know, a loyal vote and someone you can, you know, work with throughout the game and basically protect and keep that. You know, JP was a very loyal person out there on the game. And then Alan, we knew what Alan was, right? And so, but Chrissy was going for Ashley for sure. She probably would have pushed for her pretty hard.
Yeah, but that's surprising.
Yeah, it's, well, yeah.
Pretty soon after that, we get to the swap. So the heroes end up getting broken up and you get shipped off to the Yawa tribe where it's going to be, you're the only hero there. It's going to be three healers, yourself and Lauren. Were you feeling optimistic when you first showed up there or you felt like that you were maybe in the hot seat?
No, that's the first like rug from out underneath me on the show is, you know, go over there with three healers and then Lauren, who is awesome. But, you know, me and her were hung out to dry on the swap and it was not looking good for us at first. I was very, very nervous after the swap there.
So you guys won that first challenge there at the new Yawa tribe. And ultimately, this is going to be a big thing because we're going to see that Jessica gets this advantage. And that's going to, you know, sow the groundwork for a lot of the things that are going to start to go on, because then she's going to tell Cole about this advantage that she has. And then Cole is going to tell both you and Lauren about this. And was that something that helped foster how close you and Lauren ended up becoming at this point?
Yeah, when Lauren and I, well, obviously became tight like 2 seconds onto the beach, you know, because we get on the beach and the three healers take the boat out like right as we get back. So, well, after we eat our food and stuff like that. But yeah, that brought Lauren and I together initially. And then Cole tells me about the advantage. And then me and Cole go and tell Lauren. And I thought Lauren was going to be like happy about it, you know. And she was like, what are you like? He's lying to us and everything. And then she went and told Mike. And I was like, oh, man, what is going on? Like, I thought we had our in there with Cole, because I think Cole was really trying to make a move at that point. Mm-hmm. I think Cole told us about the advantage because, you know, and who knows? But I think he I don't know. I don't know. I like to think he was and not just. But it definitely brought Lauren and I together. But at the same point, I knew how, like, I learned how quickly Lauren, like, could be blunt, right? Like, she,
right.
If she's thinking it, she's saying it. And when she told Dr. Mike about it, she's like, listen, those two are planning on getting, like, she threw him a line. And that's when you see Dr. Mike walk out to the boat with Jess. And then it's like, those guys know a lot or whatever, you know? And then you got this scene where, did you tell anybody with Cole? And Cole's like, well, no. Well, I might have told Ben, you know, that was awesome. That was funny.
One of the things that really struck me during the whole middle part of the game is how much you are talking about Cole and how much he's getting on your nerves during the game. What was it about Cole that really just rubbed you the wrong? I'm sure he's a great guy in real life, but you're talking about him a lot on the show.
Right. Well, I think they, so also Cole and I talked a lot, right? I was honest with Cole about my feelings towards him. We would sit down and have heart to hearts the whole time. And, you know, just about being a man and stuff like that. And, you know, he and I learned a lot from him. And I want to say, you know, hopefully he learned stuff from me. But we got along great out there. And it was nothing like personal, like to where I hated Cole as a person. The kicker is when our last season was Millennials versus Gen X, right? Mm-hmm. And so like watching Taylor on an island steal food. And as a fan, you're like, oh my God, I would lose my, you know, I would lose my mind if someone, you know, you're seeing this. And then to end up on the exact, you know, on an island with the one person in the game who's stealing food. It was like, oh dude, you can't like, no, you can't do that. That's everybody's food. And so I viewed it as like selfish and immature. And, you know, I it was nothing like personal, but people are stealing food on an island when everyone is starving. Mm-hmm. That's not fair, you know?
Well, that's not really going on yet at this point. This is still a little before all of that is going to end up unfolding. But it seems like that the thing that's interesting about all this to me is that you and Lauren have a lot of conversations with Dr. Mike. And it looks like that there is a possibility that if you guys had gone to a tribal council at some point in this period, that maybe you guys would have made a real play to get Dr. Mike to vote with you guys. Was that something that was ever real?
I don't know, because we were, I thought we had Dr. Mike on board because of the secret advantage, right? Lauren's play to tell Dr. Mike that Cole told us about it actually worked in our favor. And then we were hounding Dr. Mike and being like, listen, that's a power couple. Like they're in with Joe because they know about the idol together, because we learned about Joe's idol. You know, everybody told us, Cole told us about Joe's idol too. And so so we were trying to pound that into Dr. Mike's, like, you know, those two are a power couple. They're not going to drag you along, you know? And so mm-hmm. I would, you know, who knows what would have happened, that the three of them I feel like they would have stuck together because they had the most healers in the game at that point. So I don't know. I don't know how real it was.
One of the things that also just looking back that I still can't get over, and I was saying that at the time, I didn't understand why Yawa didn't throw a challenge and get rid of either you or Lauren at this point. Was that something that was a concern to you that they might get together and say, hey, why don't we get rid of one of these two people that aren't with us, and then make sure that we protect Rourke and Desi and Joe?
Right. So ideally, like looking at it, like from that point of view, of course it makes complete sense, but you forget that Cole was on the island telling everybody's secrets. Right. And so there was that, you know, feeling that maybe Cole could go home. And so that's why everybody gave their 100% during the challenges, because it was very uneasy at camp with Dr. Mike. You know, Dr. Mike held the power because he was a swing vote. And so nobody knew who would go home, really. So everybody, you know, played their hearts out and competed, and we won, you know, most of the challenges. So I think everyone was honestly scared to go home. That's why we all competed as hard as we did.
Did you have a sense whether it might have been you or Lauren if you guys would have gone to a tribal council at that point?
Of course, they were telling me that it was Lauren, right? Mm-hmm. But they were also telling Lauren it was me. So who they Cole made it very difficult. Like that was the worst part of the game for me, because I had no clue what was going on. Like there was no way to tell who would have gone home at the next tribal.
We asked Jessica about this in the exit interviews, but I would just love to hear your account of this in terms of the decision to take a vote away from somebody. Ultimately, Devin was going to be the person who got the disadvantage. Did you really push hard to protect Alan in that and Ashley in that vote?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Alan and Ashley. Yeah, I didn't want, you know, them to get a vote steal for them, obviously, because they were heroes. And when at the swap, you hear Alan say, like, stay blue. And that's what I was trying to do. Of course, I was advocating for them. You know, I don't want them to go home. And they were I was trying to get like it for Joe because they told us that he had the idol and that he was a talker. And Jess played it off really well. How like hearing from Jess at Yawa, I didn't think her and Joe were that tight. And that was until the merge. And I'm sure we'll get into that. But yeah, so I was really pushing for Joe. And then, you know, she ultimately made the choice. We all sat out in the ocean and talked about it, but she made the choice to go for Devin. And it was her, choice. You know, that was, she chose that. No one else, nobody else, like that was her choice.
So ultimately Alan is going to go home at that tribal council. And by day 12, this is now into the fifth episode. That episode starts off with the scene of the bamboo popping and your reaction to that. And I thought it was a really memorable moment on the show in terms of what you were going through. Did you like how that was depicted, at least at that point?
I mean, watching, like, so they showed the preview, you know, and the week before, and I was like, ah, they're like, I didn't know if they were going to show it when it happened. And I didn't like, I had no clue that they were going to show that. And so I was pretty nervous for it. And then, you know, once they went through it and you saw the whole thing, I think they handled it in a very respectful way. And they showed, you know, that's real. And that was part of the game where I was like, I fell out of the game, you know, and I had to take a little moment for myself and get my head back in the game, because even if you're playing an awesome, wonderful game in a beautiful place like Fiji, and if something like that happens, you know, it kind of messes with your head a little. And so I took some time out, and you saw Lauren come down and check on me, and she did, you know, amazing. That's why I love Lauren. She just let me know she was okay, but she let me have my time too. So, yeah, they handled it very well. And if it helps bring to light, you know, kind of what, some people go through, then it's worth it, you know.
In going back and watching that clip, I thought it was actually pretty amazing what you say in the interview there. That I want to play that clip and then have you comment on it. This is from right after that happens in the episode.
Other people, civilians or whatever, have no idea what it's like to be shot at or more. Have people try to kill you. You can't comprehend that without being there and going through it. And so those reactions are 100% real for men and women that have fought for our country. And it's hard to be around other people that don't understand that. Before I met my wife, that was a monkey on my back. My wife and kids have definitely saved me from my demons, my nightmares, and the past. I used to live in the past. That's not a good thing for anyone. You got to look forward to the future, because the past will eat you alive, but the future will save you. You know, winning the million for my family is my goal, but there's a bigger picture, and it's bigger than me, my family, the game of Survivor. It's about just being able to show vets who have gone through battle and war and depression and PTSD, there's a way to life outside of all that hell. That's what I'm doing.
And this was day 12. I mean, this was amazing that you basically laid out your whole journey there, including going on to win the $1 million. So I want to know, how much was that on your mind in terms of bringing light to people suffering with PTSD when you went out there on the show?
Obviously, like at the start, it wasn't a topic I was, you know, wanting to go out there and talk about. It's a part of me, and, you know, it's not something like I would have never thought that this would have been like my Survivor experience. You know, I'm glad it's happened after the bamboo happened, and like I reacted, you know, that's how I felt, right? Because now you just, you know, the thing that embarrasses you the most and you know are ashamed was just filmed and it was just shown and, or not shown, but you know, there's cameras around. And so when you go and do a confessional and you're talking about it, you realize that like, wait a second, maybe I'm out here for another reason too. And that's kind of was the realization of it. Like, wow, well, maybe I am out here for something else also, you know? And so, yeah, after that, at that point, it was definitely on my mind.
Did being out there on Survivor, I know that all of your senses are heightened when you go play, that you're sleep deprived, you're hungry, and everything is more extreme. So did Survivor heighten any of the feelings that you had?
I mean, being tired and hungry, that's, you know, of course, your feelings are going to run amok and stuff like that. It's something that I've experienced before, but it when your body and your mind go through, you know, you start losing sleep and you're stressed out too. You know, your feelings and emotions kind of come out and they're not uncontrollable, but when you feel stuff, you actually feel it and you do get emotional out there. Survivor is an amazing game, but it tears you down to your inner self and strips you down raw. And you find out as, personally, you find out a lot about yourself. And that's one of the great things about Survivor.
Did you have a lot of people reach out to you after that scene in the show?
Yeah, yes, definitely. A lot of, you know, veterans and then people in general, you know, you look at, you know, the shootings across America and some of those people have like the same reactions to mm-hmm. loud noises and stuff like that. And so, yeah, there's a lot of people and not just, you know, just veterans, but people with PTSD from, you know, incidences that happened when they were, you know, children. And, you know, it's a real unseen like problem. And yeah, it's pretty crazy, but a lot of people reached out and, you know, for us, like, thank you. And you're, you know, and stuff. And so it was pretty overwhelming and heartwarming to, and supportive to get that much response out of that.
Was that the only time that you had an incident like that out there on Survivor, or was that something that happened a bunch of times?
No, that was the only one. At the final night at Ponderosa, right after everything, after the show had ended and final tribal council, and we all went back and we were partying and drinking, someone popped a freaking balloon on accident, you know? And, yeah, that was not, there was a bunch of choice words and stuff, at Ponderosa when a balloon popped, but Ashley was amazing and she went around and popped all the balloons the next day while I was getting a massage or something. So
yeah,
it was pretty cool that she took care of me out there.
Yeah.
That was her thing, Rob. That was her thing.
That popping was her balloons. Thing, popping the balloons to help you.
That was her thing.
Ponderosa is glad. I'm glad she finally found something.
Just started slashing balloons like, not today, balloon.
Were you upset that you didn't have a Ponderosa video?
No, of course not. I will take a final tribal council video any day over at Ponderosa. That's just me, though. I don't know.
Yeah, you got a 10 minute long highlight package instead of a Ponderosa video.
Yeah, that was that's weird. That is weird seeing yourself on TV, but yeah. Seeing, you know, a highlight reel of yourself is. I don't know.
Not bad. Not bad.
No,
take it if you can get it.
Right? If they're handing them out, I'll take it.
I should have just watched that instead of going back and watching the season.
Yeah, that's all you needed, right? Oh, it's crazy. Crazy. And watching the season unfold is just like, wow, what is happening? You know, and it was fun to watch.
Yeah, what was that like going through the whole season unfolding? Because your kids are small, but are they old enough to understand what's going on? I think your son is Wyatt, right? And he's 5.
Yes. He just turned 6 this year, back a couple months ago. So he's 6 now, and Gracie, she's 3. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they like the challenges, but they don't like they don't really know, get like the drama and the tactics of the game, but they like seeing dad on TV and doing the challenges. And you know, it was kind of a bummer because I never won a challenge. So, you know, every time I'm like, oh, you lost again, Dad. I'm like, ah, well, just wait. There's a challenge coming up that I might win, you know.
Yeah.
Turns out I did actually win one challenge.
Did you appeal to kids on this show because of the cowboy hat?
Yeah, I think, you know, and plus the voice, the beard, and just I'm a happy guy. You know, I smile a lot and you know, I don't know. It's just the way I am. But I do, kids and I get along. We're on the same level. We have a lot of fun together. Yeah. My kids and I do.
We had the show on a couple of times and my older son was just like, oh, that's the cowboy, that guy. So
right, I thought that
the hat might really make you somebody who's memorable for the kids. So,
oh, yeah. Someone sent me like a picture or something of the dad sent me a picture. Their kids drew a Christmas card as me addressed to the dad. And it was pretty cute. It was funny.
So at this point in the game, around the sixth episode, this is when you guys are still having conversation with Dr. Mike about what to do. And there is like you sort of raise this idea about Dr. Mike. He caught the tiny fish. He shared it with everybody. Cole catches a fish. He eats it all by himself. And that you raise the idea that Cole is a selfish player because of all of the food that he's eating and the fact that he didn't even get fat before he went on Survivor.
Yeah, packing on a few pounds, yeah, right?
That was very selfish.
Yeah.
Get up to 17% body fat.
Yeah. Low ball. So it turned into a tactic, really, because Cole and Jess were the power couple. Everybody knew it. And then I think right around that point, they came up with a fake plan to break up because Cole had a girlfriend back home that Jess didn't know about, supposedly.
This is the fake plan.
This is, yeah. And then, so I was like, well, yeah, I mean, you don't know who this guy is, you know? So I was just throwing, I was like, he's stealing food. He's, you know, got a girlfriend back home. And yeah, I just use that as a tactic, really, because when you're out there, everybody shares everything. Right. And for the food thing, it was just like, you can't do that. And I used it to my advantage, really, especially once we got to the merge.
Yeah, it seems like right around this time, like around like day 16, right before you merge, you seem like you're really confident that you and Lauren would be able to pull Mike over if you guys had to go to a tribal council.
Yes. At the time, definitely. But Mike was such a gamer, and I didn't know Mike had it out for me as bad as he did from
pregame,
day one.
Before the game started.
Yeah.
He says, the guy in the cowboy hat is the biggest threat out here. I have to get rid of him.
Yeah. And so that's why, like, going back, I don't know why he would work with me, right? Like, he had it out for me.
You're too charming.
The second he laid, and me and Dr. Mike got along great, though. It was like, he had a staff. I made him a staff at one point. Mm-hmm. And I drew a sperm on it and wrote doc on it. Yeah. And you can see it. Like,
I bet he loved it.
Yeah. Oh, he loved it. Right. Cause he, you know, Game of Thrones, big fan guy. And, you know, every old doc needs a staff. Right. So I drew a sperm on it and then gave it to him. It was funny.
Yeah. No. Did you feel bad when Cole ended up falling to the ground and passing out after you were so hard on him eating too much food?
Oh my God.
How did you do that?
So, hey, at the time, I didn't know that I got back to camp and they told me, and I was like, no, he didn't, I thought it was just Jess trying to get Cole more food because he was, you know, whining about food and stuff. And
you
so
thought it was a long con.
I did. I really did. I didn't know the severity of it until I watched it.
And she was in on it.
Yeah, I did. I did. You know, I took, I didn't know. Because it was rough there, right? It was rough because Cole would like sneak a couple extra scoops of rice and, you know, and he tried to be sneaky right in front of you. And he was just, he was not sneaky at all, you know, and peanut butter started. And so it was like, you know, I didn't know how bad it was. And then watching it back, the first thought is like, holy cow, he really like he smacked his head.
Yeah.
And then the second thing that comes to play when you hear that scene and he does that is, you know, that movie Tropic Thunder, you know, like Simple Jack. You choose me. Like that's what I don't know. That's the second thing that comes to mind. It was funny. But I'm glad he's okay. I'm glad he didn't get hurt.
He was fine.
He'd make a great Simple Jack for Halloween too, right? Maybe like give him some overalls and like that bowl cut. Oh, it'd be awesome.
it's an option.
So, yeah.
So I was also really struck in watching this back by, you know, what a big swing you are at the merge, because really there's the two sides that are counting on you and Lauren coming over. But even at the time, I felt like it was a little naive on the part of the healers to assume that you guys were definitely going to stick with them. And I think that Joe, to his credit, was like, what? Ben's not going to stick with us. But it feels like that the healers that you were with, Mike and Cole and Jessica, you guys must have done a good enough sales job to feel like, to at least make them feel like that you guys were solid numbers for them.
Right. So we had to make them feel comfortable. And I think Lauren and I did a great job at that because of the disarray that was going on at the healers. And then I used, Alan and the whole idol and strip search and everything like that to be like, no, we're going to be with you guys just so we could have options. And then, Joe sniffed it out right away. Joe's a great player. One thing that like on that, that merge beach after the feast, you know, I was in the bushes and I was listening to Joe and Jess have a conversation. And Joe was like, we got to get Ben. We got to get Ben. And Jess controlled that whole entire conversation to the point where like Joe was okay with not taking me out first because Jess was like almost advocating for me because she thought I was with her. But watching that happen was like, holy cow, Jess is the one who has the complete control over the entire healers tribe. And so that's when I knew like Jess was the threat of the whole entire game.
Were you really keeping your options open in terms of going with the healers versus ultimately starting the seven or?
Absolutely not. Yeah. No. No, me and Lauren were never, I don't know what Lauren's getting, but for me, that was never an option because that, you know, once we hit the merge, it was like hitting a net, right? Because you don't know when you're fall, like you have no clue how those tribals are going to go. And then getting back to the merge with the heroes, only losing Alan and having what four, and then the healers with Lauren and Devin and Ryan, we were able to swoop up and have the numbers.
It really worked out well for all of the heroes and the hustlers because you had
you all called them the hurslers,
the
right?
The hurslers.
Because I'm a hurstler, baby.
Because you had Devin and Ashley who ended up getting together, and then you had Ryan and Chrissy and with JP who ended up getting together. So it was like very natural for all of the hurslers to get back together and very unlucky for the healers that it broke that way.
Right. Yeah. They were just so dominant and you heard stories of them giving each other back rubs and face tickles or whatever.
Face tickles.
They were tickling each other's faces.
That's not like slap and tickle, right?
Yeah. Ain't no slap and tickle. Yeah. Yeah. No, they were, I don't know what they were doing, but it was like a resort, you know? And so you knew how tight they were, and they really were. Those, I mean, you look at it now and those, that group is tremendously tight, and what a great, you know, group of people, but they were very, very tight, and you knew that in the game. And so there was no splitting the healers up at all.
Okay. So you guys get to the merge and you have this big Outback feast. And this is when you're reunited with Chrissy. And there's this moment in the episode where, you know, she seems like very excited to be back talking to you. And she's going into talking about some of the ideas that she has and talking about, you know, going after Joe. You seem like you're very hesitant there and you seem concerned that somebody's going to hear what you guys are saying.
Right. So I had screwed up at the Yawa beach and I had told everyone like Chrissy was my closest ally. Right. Mm-hmm. And so when I said it, I was like, oh, you just screwed the pooch on that. And so back at the merge, I didn't want, because, you know, we're supposed to be the secret power couple, right? And so I didn't want us to like sit together or talk together. I wanted to talk like in silence, you know, in private. And when we sit down, I think Joe sat between us at first, and that was awesome. But you know, Chrissy and I like, you know, snuck over and she was trying to talk game right in front of everybody. And it was like, no, you can't be doing this right now. Like, this is not you. Yeah. So it was kind of frustrating because she just kept going. And it was like, no, stop. Please stop.
Yeah.
It was funny.
Keeping secrets was something that really did serve you well in the game. Was that a big part of your strategy coming in that you felt like that I need to be able to, you know, keep things private and secret throughout the whole game?
No, not at all. I didn't know what secrets I was going to keep, but you know, everybody started, telling me their secrets. And, at one point, like, I think I knew everybody's secret and nobody else, you know, it was absolutely amazing. And
secret.
yeah, exactly. And so, I it wasn't a part of my strategy, but the way it played out for me was perfect because everybody and being able to tell everybody else's secret was easier for me to keep my secret. Right. So when I told Devin about Ryan's idol, right, that was bringing Devin over with us because I knew how tight Devin and Ryan were. So I had to break them up. And plus, did I have the idol at that point or not? I don't know. But it was easier for me to disclose everyone else's secret and not mine.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when you guys have this first vote after the merge, you know, there's a lot of back and forth with what you guys are going to ultimately do. You pull Dr. Mike aside and you tell him that it could be Cole. And it seems like you're trying to get Dr. Mike to vote with the Hurstlers at that point. Was that because you had felt close enough to him? You felt like you could bring him along?
Yeah, so I told Dr. Mike it's Cole because I don't want them knowing that Jess is actually the real vote. Mike was such a wild card going into, we didn't know what Mike was going to do. And we suspected that Mike was going to go with the healers, right? And so by me telling him that it's Cole and not telling him it's Jess, we knew that we were able to pull a blindside off.
So in the episode, it really showed Devin a lot at this point in the game, running around and trying to get the seven all together at the merge. Was that how you remembered things happening? Was he sort of the architect of this group of seven?
I mean, I think all of us had that in our heads, right? Getting to the merge. I think we all knew that the healers and the heroes had to match up because every conversation we had was like, hey, I think we should work together. And, you know, they're like, yes. Okay. That's what I was thinking. Again, those healers were just so strong. I think everybody had that in their head. And you know, that was the seven was quite the selling point, you know, at the merge to get rid of those healers.
Okay. So you guys go to this tribal council. And then ultimately, Joe is going to play the idol for himself. Were you very happy with how this all played out, where Jess goes home, an idol gets flushed, and things are looking very good?
Yeah, we knew Joe had an idol. We figured he got the idol at the Blue Beach from Ashley and Devin. And so the vote switched to Joe. I think we told Jess we were voting for Joe instead. And that way it would get back to Joe that we were going to vote for him and we would flush his idol. That was the whole goal was to be able to flush the idol and then take Jess out. Cause again, Jess was the strongest one there, and her and Joe were extremely tight. And, you know, Joe is awesome, and Joe says what he's thinking, but watching Jess like shut down Joe was like, whoa, we got to get her out, you know?
So that was it when you just from seeing that in the bushes, that's what really made you feel like that Jess was the person who had to go.
Yeah. For me, that's when I knew. I saw, and Devin trusted Desi too at one point. This is when we were telling everyone that it was Joe. And then when I saw Desi walking up and she winked at Jess, or Jess winked at her, and I was like, okay, hold on a second. Cause Desi at first was playing that like she was with the hustlers and not with the healers. And then I saw them wink together, and I was like, all right, no, Jess is it. We got to get Jess out.
Yeah. In this next episode where Desi is going to go home, there's also going to be a moment where you're going to sneak up in the bushes and you're watching Joe talk to Ryan and Devin. There's going to be a point later in the season where you sneak up on Lauren and Devin and Ashley. You're a big guy. And that is something that just never computed to me, how you were able to do that. Was this something that was you knew that you had in your skill set, or was this something that you were just surprising yourself out there?
No, Rob, it's like tactics I've learned from like being a young kid and, you know, playing hide and go seek. And
so this isn't the Marines. This is stuff.
It's a little bit of the Marines too, but you learn it from a young age, right? And then you go, like, for me, I went to the Marine Corps and I learned it for a profession, right? And got paid to do it. Mm-hmm. So, it was easy. It was like pulling recon for me, and it was fun. I love hiding in bushes. You know, Tony had a spy shack. I used all the bushes and everything to have like a mobile spy shack, I guess.
Right. And that's something that Sandra had done in her seasons as well. And it was something that really turned out to be a valuable weapon for you.
Absolutely. Information is key, right? The more information you have, especially the information that's going on behind your back.
Yeah.
Because that's the stuff that you obviously don't hear about, and people, you might hear about it, but what's to say is the truth. And being able to see it, visualize it, and hear it, you knew exactly what was going on behind your back.
So it was really a twofold thing that was happening in your game, where you had people trusting you enough, at least for, you know, this point in the game, that they're telling you about their secrets and advantages. And then also you're sneaking up on people and surveilling them and getting secrets that they're not even telling you.
Yeah. It was information is key, especially in a game like Survivor. And it was just a boatload of information. And some of it was so hard to process, right? Because you didn't know what conversations were real that you were hearing also. So you really had to filter through everything and kind of come up with a game plan.
Okay, so this is the episode at this point where they have the spaghetti reward. And now you sadly did not get to go and eat spaghetti and find out about the idol clue. But you were there when all of the pandemonium broke out when you got back. And so you're sitting in the shelter, and then there's a melee at the flag, and you immediately run over and start wrestling Cole.
Right. So I want to first back up, because like Cole comes bolting out of nowhere. We're all laying in the shelter, and Cole took a gazelle leap off of like this step that was, I don't know, probably 8 feet, 9 feet, and, you know, both ways. And he just jumped and was like, holy cow, what is he doing? And then he goes in there and starts digging. And that's when someone's like, oh, idol. And so, it was like, well, let's start. It was fun. It was awesome. It was incredible. It was one of the funnest moments on the show, because it was unreal. Because, you know, it's Survivor, right? And it was complete mayhem and disarray. And the flag, you know, fell on Dev. And it was
what he was really upset about that. He was like, you guys almost killed me.
Yo, man, you knocked me in the head, you know. And it was awesome. But and what would have happened if like one of us found it, right? Like what happens at that point too, if Ryan doesn't find it and you know, me or Cole or Chris or even Joe. Joe was in there. Dev was in there. Who, like, what happens to the game at that point if Ryan doesn't have that, you know, find it?
Yeah.
Would have been tremendous to see, too, because it was mayhem. Like, it was complete mayhem.
Now, Cole doesn't have the idol, but you are very strongly, you know, pointing the finger and accusing him of having the idol. Did you know he didn't have the idol, or you were convinced that he did?
No, so he tucked, like, when he sat back, he was on his knees, and he sat back, and then he tucked his shirt into his pants, mm-hmm. right? Like, into his crotch. Now, I swore he had the idol. I knew he had it, because...
Now you're on.
Yes, exactly. And I'm glad I did it, because I used that, and that's, I use that to hide the, when, once Ryan told me that he had the idol and that Cole didn't, that's why I got so excited when you hear me and I go, yeah. Yes, when he tells me. Yeah,
you were very excited.
Yeah, because I knew Cole had the idol, because like, it was so weird that he shoved his shirt down the crotch of his pants, right? Right in front of everyone. Like, I don't know. He said,
it's a long shirt.
Yeah, yeah. And he's like, yeah, it's a long shirt. It's like, what? It's like a dress or something. Didn't he say that? Or, like, I don't know. But, like, so I knew he had the idol. So that's why I was so excited when Ryan told me that he had it. And then I was like, oh, well, this works perfectly. Because now I can just go on this roll about, you know, Cole has the idol now.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I had forgotten about the season was that you, right at this point, you're adamant it has to be Desi, that it's the vote is really between Desi or Joe, especially once Cole ends up winning immunity here. And you are saying it has to be Desi. You feel so strongly about Desi being the person who has to go home. Why was that?
So Desi going next. No, so I wanted Joe. I wanted Joe gone next. And then Desi was like the physical threat, obviously. And talking with Desi after the Jess vote, like, we just never really clicked.
Mm-hmm.
And she, when she carried those bags across the beam, those rice bags, so she carried two of them on her head. It was amazing. No one else, like, she is beautiful, and she's so strong, and she's really intimidating when it came to all those challenges. And so that's why, you know, we ultimately voted for her. And is that the vote? Did we flush an idol on that one too? Was that Mike? No,
so not yet. That's going to be the next vote, where Cole is going to be the one that goes home.
So I was pushing for Joe on that one, and then it got swung over to Desi. And so we ultimately went for Dez on that one.
So what happens in the episode? And again, the episode isn't always exactly the order that maybe it might have happened in real life. So
right. There's
this Desi versus Joe debate. And this is when Joe is sort of on tilt. He's played an idol in the last round and things are not looking too good for Joe. And this is when he's going to really try to push your buttons on the Marine Corps, right? And he gets a real reaction from you in the moment. But I think it was, I was impressed that you don't waver in that it needs to still be Desi, that you say, you know, that even when in the next round, when Ashley is going to be pushing for, no, it has to be Joe, that you really stuck to your guns in terms of that. No, it's not Joe's time yet, even though he was coming after you with this attack on the Marine Corps.
Right. So after that, now I know what you're talking. So after that, Joe, and what a great gameplay by Joe. I respect Joe so much. And as a move, he took a swing, he connected. He has no clue like what I've done and what the Marine Corps means to me. So as a game move, you got to respect the guy. Like, he wanted to round me up and he did it. And I blew up and I lost myself. And so kudos to Joe for that. But that's when I knew like what we were working with, right? Once Joe pushed my button and I realized it, like that's what he was trying to do, I knew Joe's game. And so keeping Joe around was easy because I knew what Joe's tactics were at that point, right? Like I lost, but I learned from it. And And ultimately, that's why I wanted to keep Joel around. And then Desi to, one, get the healers down, and then, two, the physical threats out of the game. Because, you know, if you win individual immunity, that's kind of who holds the power. And so she was just so, like, she was very sociable, and I didn't want her to have too much power that early in the merge.
So another interesting thing that's going on at this point in the game, Lauren has found the clue now where she can get the advantage of the extra vote if she doesn't vote in this round. But you guys are worried about a split vote. And Lauren basically says, yeah, I can't be in on the split vote because I need to be able to get this advantage. And yeah. I was always surprised that you didn't really call her out more in the moment and be like, wait, what do you mean? Like, we got a plan here. What is that? You're being selfish.
Oh my gosh. No, so me and her talked about it for so long. And ultimately she put her foot down and was like, no, I'm doing this. And I was like, okay, so now how do we do this? And how do we make this work within a situation like this? And so now we're going to have to go through the numbers here, but on this vote, I believe if the healers would have got, because they split their votes.
There's still four of them. Yeah.
There's four of them, right? And so, and isn't this where they went kind of like Desi voted somewhere? Didn't they all vote?
Joe voted for you and Desi voted for Lauren, that they probably should have voted for each other.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. There was a way I could have got home at this one. And I don't think Lauren voted for who is she, or no, wait, she didn't vote on this one.
Lauren
later
vote.
On. Yeah. 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 So, yeah, no, we knew going into it that ultimately, like, we had to take the risk to get it. And nobody knew, like, that she had it. It was just her and I that knew this, right? Mm-hmm. So then we go into the vote, and it's a tie vote. It works out perfectly. We go into the next vote, and Cole ultimately votes for Joe, right?
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's how that happened. And then Desi goes home. So there's still a missing vote. And we go back to camp and people are like, all right, hold on. There's a missing vote. And Cole is saying that he voted for Joe. And I remember that, like, Lauren and I were the only ones that knew that Lauren didn't vote. And so once he said that, I ultimately was like, no, that was Lauren's vote. Like, that other Joe vote was Lauren. It's like, they didn't read your vote, Cole. Mm-hmm. And it sucked so bad. I felt so bad for him because he actually, like, switched and made a move.
Yeah.
And, like, voted against the healers. But at that time, I had to protect Lauren and the fact that she didn't vote. And so I, like, it worked out perfectly to where I flipped it.
Was that the reason why you're doing that in the episode? Because we see you tell Dr. Mike that, look, you have to vote for Joe.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So I'm trying to protect Lauren's non-vote because nobody knows about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why I went to Dr. Mike. And Dr. Mike was always a loose cannon. And so I didn't know how it was. I'll have to go back and rewatch it, but there was a way that I could have gone home, I think, on that one, or it was the next one, or maybe
I think it's here because there's still them, four right? healers. And ultimately, yeah. This was a 4-4-1-1 vote. So if they could have gotten their ducks in a row, then you basically, if you take away the Cole and Mike votes from Joe, all of a sudden now, at least, you know, they could have at least gotten four votes on to somebody. And then, you know, maybe they could have been in business.
Yeah, I remember it was very sketchy. And then going back to camp, it just played out perfectly to where I was able to protect Lauren's vote. And now we had an extra vote between, like, her and I at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to use Cole making a move and it sucked for him. But I had to, unfortunately, you know.
I'd love to just check in at this point in time on what is your relationship like with Chrissy, because you guys were so close in the pre-merge. You get to the merge and we don't really see any interaction here in these first couple of votes other than when you guys are talking at the Outback dinner. So have things changed, or is it, you know, close to what it was pre-merge? Because I know that it seems like you're all in on Lauren.
Yeah. So at this point, I am all in on Lauren. And I had the conversation with Chrissy being like, no, like, I told her that I told Jess and Mike and everyone that she was like my closest ally. And so I wanted to stay as far away from her as possible. Now, while I was doing that, I noticed how close her and JP and Ryan had gotten to where it was obvious that like my role was definitely slipping in her alliance, you mm-hmm. know? And so I was trying to stay away from her to not, you know, seem like we were as close as I said we were on Yawa.
Now, another thing that happens at this tribal council, and this is something that is going to, you know, come back to haunt you slightly, is you're asked at tribal council about how you guys make the decisions in the group of seven.
Yeah.
And you're the one, you describe it as it's like King Arthur's round table.
Right. So first off, Joe is calling me King Arthur the whole time before that.
Before you even say that at tribal council.
Before I say that at tribal council, I've already been deemed a King Arthur and a bunch of knights and everything like that. And so, or it might have been like at tribal council when Joe said it first. Mm-hmm. So that's when I use the term like if I'm freaking King Arthur, then this is the round table. Like,
yeah,
there's no king here. We sit down as a group. Like I didn't just pull that out like, nope, I'm the king and we're knights. No, that was already like pushed on me by Joe.
So, okay, here you guys are now. You guys are down to you have your group of seven, and then still Joe, Mike, and Cole are all still in the game. And you seem like that you're really trying to keep the group to get down to the seven. You're sort of like the enforcer of, hey, everybody, let's get to the seven. Let's get to the seven. Were you really trying to get to the seven, or is that just like what you were trying to tell the group to keep everybody from starting to make moves?
No, honestly, the seven, the seven was real in my mind up until like the King Arthur thing started happening. And then I think this is where Chrissy and I sit down and she had said before that like people are starting to think you're a dictator. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I went around to everyone. I was like, look, what's the deal? Chrissy is saying this, like, how are you feeling? I'm sorry. This is not like, and everyone else was like, no, except Ashley and Chrissy, because Chrissy had started lashing on to Ashley. And so like later on you see it, and like we had already talked about it, and I had already discussed like what the actions of the group had been up to this point, yada, yada, yada. And so when she's like, people are starting to feel steamrolled, I was like, no, they're not. Cause she was starting to play the game on me. Right. And I knew she was starting to do that, and she was going to use that tactic against me. And so, that's when I was like, no, maybe you and Ash. Right. Cause I had Devin and Ryan and Lauren and Ashley at that point in my head, you know.
Well, this is really the height of the Ben is the dictator phase of the game here as we get ready for this vote where Cole is going to go out. And so we're going to have where there's the people that end up going on the reward, and they're off like on like they take a plane to get to a boat or something like that. And on day 22, Ryan shows you that he has the idol, and you have that big reaction that is, you know, very funny to go by. You're like, yes, that he ends up having the idol, because now you can try to go after Cole. And there's also going to be very shortly after that. You end up having the conversation with Devin, and you almost immediately tell Devin that Ryan showed you he had the idol. Ryan looks back at this and says, this is the moment where he's lost the game.
Yeah. Yeah. I knew Devin and Ryan were tight. I didn't know like about the super idol, I don't think, at that point,
mm-hmm.
but I knew that they were very, very tight. And we losing Chrissy to Ryan and JP, I knew I had to get Devin on board. And so that discussion up at the Rock is with Devin. And that's me like just risking my game and throwing it all out there, hoping that, you know, Devin can ride with me on this. And then he told me about, you know, like he already knew about the idol and stuff like that. So it was a sketchy moment, but I had to break Devin and Ryan up.
Were you worried at all that it would backfire, that he would go back and tell Ryan and then it would be you being on the outs?
Yes, absolutely. Of course. but I had been deemed a dictator. Mm-hmm. I lost Chrissy to JP and Ryan. I like Lauren and Ashley and I were good. And I knew Devin was with Ash. And so I had to like solidify that bond between him and I, mm-hmm. to make that four of Ashley, Lauren and myself and Dev like tight.
And so this is also the point where Joe is going to have the big blow up with Ashley. And then now he really gets under her skin to the point that she's saying, hey, we have to get rid of Joe. And you're really saying no, that, trust me, this is the best plan. We can't get rid of Joe right now. We need to get rid of Cole. Did you ever consider giving in just to appease the group and letting Joe go home?
No, because there was, it made sense. Like everybody hated Joe so much, right? Like not hated him, but they wanted him out of the game because he was running around and he was pushing people's buttons and it was effective. And then, you know, at some point him and Mike, formed the Coconuts, I think after this, but you know, we knew what Joe was, right? And we knew Ryan hadn't had the idol. We didn't know Dr. Mike had the idol, but we knew Ryan had the idol and we only thought one was in play. And so, he wasn't a threat at that point, right? To where Cole was more of a threat. And we were Desi, I think. Yeah, I don't know. It was
a lot going on.
Yeah, there was a lot going on. But yeah, keeping Joe around, we knew what Joe was, you know, getting rid of Cole. It was just time to get rid of Cole.
Yeah. And so then you guys are going to go to this other tribal council, and this is going to be where Dr. Mike ends up playing his idol, and he ends up, you know, doing what he does. He feels like that he is going to protect Joe was the logic. But did you have any sense of what he was trying to do there?
No, I didn't know what he was doing. And going into that, I think I like was leaning towards Dr. Mike, like maybe starting to come with us because we had thrown him through the ringer so much and told him to vote for such and such people and catch him out of the loop because you couldn't trust him because he would go on walks with everybody like to the well. It didn't matter who it was. Like he was constantly walking off with people. Right. He flip flopped through the whole game. You didn't know where Dr. Mike was at. And then he pulls his idol out, which we did. I didn't know he had. Mm-hmm. And I thought we were on board. But once he started giving a speech, he like I was lost. I was like, what is he doing?
So this is when he gives the Statue of Liberty versus King Arthur speech. And then he ends up playing the idol and Cole ends up going home. But in a way, this is a game changing moment for you. Because that idol is going to go back and play, and that's going to be the first idol that you find here coming up in the next round.
Right. So Mike ultimately found the Yawa Beach idol, and watching that, like, and knowing that it was going to come back into play, like, I knew I had to go out and look for it. And so, no, because Ryan's idol.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you're going to get that one too once that goes back into circulation.
Yeah. That's right. So, yeah, I do get Dr. Mike's idol.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I knew that it was going to come back into play at that point, or at least I thought it was, right? I didn't know, but I constantly looked for idols out there from day one. Like the second I hit the beach, I was looking for idols.
Well, that's the thing about playing these idols. You know, there's also a risk to it in that, you know, you have it. This is something that Boston Rob told me that, like, when you have the idol on you, it's in your pocket. You know where it is and you don't have to account for it. But then when you put it back into circulation, now you're at a loss of not only do you not have it, you don't know where it is.
Correct. That having the idol is not only, it's a two part like perk, right? Mm-hmm. You could eventually save yourself or someone in your alliance if need be, but you know exactly where it is. You know, like not knowing where the idols are at is one of the scariest, most uneasy feelings at a tribal, especially even if you have a plan in play for like, hey, what if Joe pulls an idol at this tribal and like you have a plan in play, it's still a very like uneasy feeling when an idol is pulled out and you don't know about it.
Yeah. Well, then, not that you would know.
Well, no, too much. I went through two, right? Yeah. I went through two.
When all the healers were wasting idols.
They were just tossing them out. Yeah.
Yeah. Like a t-shirt cannon at a baseball game.
Right.
Just these idols away.
Wow. Rob, you've been taking a page out of Ryan's book. But yeah. Like a bad birthday party or a tricycle, a t-shirt cannon, right?
All right. You got me.
Ding it.
I did.
Okay.
So by day 25 now, things are going to really change up in the game. And instead, I feel like that to your benefit greatly here, because I feel like that you are on a collision course that I think that if the seven sticks together, I feel like that you're going to get picked off eventually, and maybe you feel differently, like you had all your bases covered. But I feel like that if it weren't for this, you know, real left turn that happens in the game, that I feel like that you were probably going to be seen, that we see where Chrissy and Ryan are already talking about, all right, at the seven, Ben is gone. Do you feel like that you would still go on to win, that if things had stayed according to the script?
No. And at that point, like, so I knew I had to pump the brakes because I had played such a strong game and had really pushed for the first votes on at the merge. And so once Cole left, I pumped the brakes. I was like, you got to slow down. Like, you got to stop pushing. The whole dictator thing and King Arthur came into play. And so once I, like, you know, pulled back on the reins, that's when Lauren, like, jumped in and came up with that plan, at the reward there, at the burger reward.
Yeah.
And it was perfect timing. It, like, for my game, and it just couldn't have worked out any better. Cause I was like, all right, you need to slow down. And then Lauren stepped up and was like, look, this is what we're doing. And it was awesome. And so that's when I was like, all right, deal. I'm on board, because I had to for my game, slow it down. Otherwise, I knew I was gone.
How much had you guys talked about this? Because it's interesting that in talking with Devin at the finale, I had asked him about this, and he said that, you know, his mistake was when they let you be in the four that they ended up making. But you're talking about when you have that conversation with Devin and you tell him about Ryan's idol, that, oh, I'm looking at Devin as somebody to bring in with Lauren and I. So how much talk about who was going to be in the four was there before you guys got to that reward?
A lot. There was a lot of talk independently. So we sat on the beach, the three of us. I know it's me and Devin and Lauren, and had a real heart-to-heart opening. And, you know, I trusted Ashley from the Heroes Beach. Devin trusted her, and I trusted Lauren. And so when you see us throw out all the secrets at the deal, that's us just bringing Ashley in and making sure she's on board with everything, because at that point Ashley didn't know what was going on, you know. And I love Ashley to death, but we needed her to feel comfortable and, you know, form this four to get through the next couple votes, because Chrissy and JP and Ryan had been throwing my name around to Lauren, I believe, and Lauren told me about it.
So a lot of stuff is going on now at this point, that you guys create this new final four, and you guys say that you're going to have to work with Joe and Mike, and it doesn't seem like it's too bitter of a pill for you to swallow, because you're already okay with keeping Joe in the game, correct?
Right. Yep, absolutely.
Maybe harder for Ashley, because she has no love lost with Joe in terms of keeping him in the game. And then you guys are also going to get these letters from home. And this is going to be, you know, important in a number of different ways. Were you surprised that the letters were hidden under the hamburger buns?
Oh, yes. Yeah. And, you know, we looked around for like a clues, because we weren't looking around for letters. And I think under the bunts was like one of the last places we looked. And once we found him, we thought it was a clue. Mm-hmm. And so that's when you see everybody just like reach real quick. And then we realize it's letters, and your heart kind of just kind of stops. And that was a pretty special moment that ultimately bonded us together. Right. Because you get those, you know, the letters from home, and you see your parents. And for me, my kids handwriting and stuff. And you know, it's pretty emotional. And Devin and I were crying, you know, like a bunch of little babies hugging each other, you know, rubbing, you know, snot and mustard off our faces. So it was a good experience that like solidified the four moving forward for those next couple votes.
Okay. And then how soon after that is it when you find the first idol?
So the very next morning.
Yeah.
I wake up early and I was like, you know, I'm going to go up and read my letters at this rock. And, you know, it was awesome reading, you know, seeing Wyatt's handwriting and stuff, and my dad and my brother, and then Kelly obviously like encouraged me. And I was like, all right, it's time to go find an idol. Like I have to find an idol because I knew like I was on the chopping block. It's like, it was coming up soon. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so coming down the trail when like, it looks like I just randomly stumbled upon it, but walking the way it was positioned, walking up from that, you can't see it because of the, like there's an, it's hidden behind another rock. Right.
Mm.
And so I had looked all up and everywhere around and was walking down, flipping rocks, you know, on trees and everything. And then that's when I saw the X, and I was like trying to hold my pants up because I was like slipping down the hill I thought I had found like the idol, but it was actually the clue. And the clue had, it was like, you know, you got to go over to clear to the other side of the island. And, it was, you know, I remember I had to walk through camp.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, my stomach hurts or something. Like mm-hmm. I ate too much coconut. And, cause I was already gone, right. Reading letters. And so I had to think of another excuse to be gone again, you know, by myself.
And nobody is telling you where you have to read your letter.
No. What do you mean telling you where you have to read a letter?
Because I've heard people say in different podcasts and things where that, oh, well, he found that idol. They must have told him where to read his letter. And then he finds an idol right there.
No, you don't. No, they don't tell you where to read letters. Mm-hmm. I don't like to, you know, get emotional and cry in public, let alone on national television, right? But if you have some letters, you know, from your loved ones, you know, you sneak away and do it by yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I was doing. No one tells you where to go to read your letters. Like,
yeah,
no.
You're allowed to read your letter wherever you want.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you want to read it while you're, you know, digging a hole and taking a dump. You can do that. They're like, no one's gonna
not as emotional.
No, yeah, well, I don't know. Like sometimes I read when I, you know, take a, you know, aqua dump or what, you know, I don't know. And now we're getting into poop.
Aqua dump. Okay. All right. Well, yeah, that's, it seems like you're going to lose whatever you're reading at that point. But let's get out of this. Let's get out of this. Okay. So, all right. So now you have the idol. And now shortly after this, also, this is when the secret agent plan is going to come to be. It looks like in the episode,
right?
It's Devin says to you, hey, you should be the secret agent because then you could get in good with Ryan and Chrissy after the vote. It'll look like you got blindsided too. And then you can find out where the idol gets played. Did you have any say in the idea that comes up at this point?
Yeah. So this move right here is absolutely setting us up for like the seven that is eventually going to like erupt. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so you see us on the beach, and yes, Devin and Lauren, I think, came up with it together, or Devin pitched it to Lauren. And so, Lauren told me about it. And so when we were down on the beach, that's when you see Devin open up and I give the really thing like, all right, like this is really going to happen. And like, it got fun. Like that's when it was fun because they just encouraged me to go out and play the game, and they were going to have my back, you know, while I did it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it went from like, okay, pump the brakes and try to hide behind the scenes to, dude, now you get to go out and act and have fun and And it was awesome. It was so fun. That was awesome.
You got a lot of compliments also from the Devin and Ashley talking about how, especially in the next round when you guys go on the reward with Joe and you're really playing it up, it seemed like that you really took to this double agent role.
Yeah, I did. I fell pretty deep into it, actually. Especially around the Joe vote, right? when Joe, you see me having a good time at the reward and like joking around it and trying to poke and prod and be like, what's the plan? Can I help and everything? But like around camp though, I really had to play it out to where like I thought I was going home, right? And so I had to act mopey. I had to act like I was, depressed and sad, and I was going home, and like I would have conversations with Joe and or in front of Joe with other people, and just to give him and Mike the feelings that I was going home, because that was the whole key to this plan working, was them not knowing I was with them, right? And so I almost fell into like, you know, those, you hear like those like actor role depression things, and yeah. It was like, wow, I almost fell into it, and it was kind of a dark time, but to come out on the other side and the whole plan to work off, because you didn't know if Ashley and Devin and Lauren were going to flip on me, right?
Could have been a setup.
Could have been a setup, but I used the fact that I was going to flush Ryan's idol to secure my spot in the four, and I kept telling them that like I don't know where he's going to play it. Like I'm trying to get him to give it to me. Because I think that that you guys are voting me out and stuff. So I never like confirmed where he was going to play the idol, purposely to secure my spot in the four.
Good. Is this something that you ever could have imagined when you went out there on Survivor that you'd be like playing this double agent character, that you'd have to, you know, be acting one way? I mean, it seems like a departure from you.
Yeah, no, it was, this is not, yeah, it was, it's unreal, right? The whole situation is unreal, and again, it was just so much fun to do, and I've never played a double agent like that before, and I think I did a pretty good job, I guess.
Because I would think that people would look at you and say, okay, well, he's a Marine, he's a straight shooter, you know, he's not going to be, you know, doing something that's like a really duplicitous in the game. And you were able to, you know, really take advantage of those expectations.
Well, yeah, I got the go ahead from the four people that I like trusted and needed at that point, right? Mm-hmm. Like that I had put all my cards in into a pile with them, you know, and they gave me to go ahead and do this. And so it was playing Survivor like I never, ever thought would be like playing Survivor, because you have to go out and be yourself and then build relationships. But these, your alliance is like, no, go out and lie and go out and play this double agent role. And I had a blast with it. It was fun. It was fun, though.
So ultimately, your alliance is going to vote out JP. You're going to be one of the people that is voting for Mike on this vote. But did you have a say in who the person was? Because this was something that we really struggled with during the run of the episodes of why JP here in this spot instead of Chrissy or Ryan.
So our goal was to flush the idol. Right. That's what we really wanted to do, was to flush Ryan's idol. And so in order to do that, we had to get either JP or Chrissy out and then to start this motion. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, JP was so loyal to Chrissy and Ryan that there was no, he was stuck with them like through the whole game. There was no pulling JP out. And again, you know, immunity challenge. He was a threat. The guy caught, you know, stingrays, he caught lobsters. Like he was, if he made it to the end, I mean, I don't know how, but he was so in with Chrissy that it was okay to get JP out. Right. Mm-hmm. Plus like Lauren said that he was throwing my name around too. And cause JP gamed at the merge. He really did. He finally caught on, I think at the merge, and kind of was like, well, okay, the game might be picking up. And so, being able to take him out, that was just a no-brainer for me.
Okay, so
for us as you know, that was us.
Yeah. So we talked about you being the double agent and having to get one over on Joe, and then working with Chrissy and with Ryan. Now, were you surprised when you watched this episode that we see Lauren and Ashley throwing your name around as early as this point at the final eight?
Very. I was very surprised.
I think they should have done it.
They should have, right? Like they should have pulled the trigger on that one. But I think Dev and I had built such a close relationship, and you see, like Dev, you know, we don't see it, but I ultimately believe he stood up for me in that situation because Dev and I did have an awesome like friendship relationship out there, and so it makes sense for them to do it. You know, they're getting itchy, they're making their moves. Joe's calling, you know, Ashley a goat, and she's, you know, starting to itch, and here's Lauren with a secret advantage and, you know, making moves. And so they went into game mode, right? They were getting ready to hack away at everyone. Mm-hmm. And I think Dev saved me on that one.
Then there's a fallout after that. Even though you vote out Joe, it's not what Ryan and Chrissy expect. Now, Ryan and Chrissy are really angry with you. Well, I should say Chrissy is the most angry with you. Ryan at least hides his anger. You know, how bad was that blow up? Was it even worse than we ended up seeing on the show?
Night-night.
Yeah, the night-night. That came off wrong, huh? No, but what they didn't show, you know, like they showed exactly what they needed to show. Obviously, like it started a little bit before that, and maybe, you know, someone was a little bit more aggressive to start, and that's where I got defensive, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's when I throw my walls up, because it was like, well, you know, that's a move that happened. And watching her treat people the way she did, I was just kind of returning the favor on that. And she did not appreciate that. Ryan, on the other hand, was amazing, right? Like he would come back and be like, wow, like that was incredible. You know, he had fun with it.
So then the day after that, by day 31, is going to be the family visit, and the one of the greatest challenges that they've ever had on the show. Oh. The black and white rock grab ends up coming up, and
is it black and white or black and black and white? Right?
Yeah. yes. How could you forget?
I just have that. I came in like a black marble. In my when we got to this far, for some reason that popped in my head. I don't know why.
Yeah, and you were so close to winning the loved ones visit with Kelly, and you know, I did think that it was a great moment when, you know, your hand is shaking, you're holding up that black rock. I mean, how tough was it to then see that she had the white rock?
Yeah, you know, we went a couple rounds, you know, and I think a time restriction or whatever, but we ended up going a couple rounds, and so it was longer than two rounds. So when I pulled my rock out, my hand was shaking, because it was that like suspenseful. Chrissy and I going back to back, you know, a couple times in a row before we finally got to that point. It was like, gosh, how is this happening? Because you watch everyone fall off at first, and then I drew correct first, and then Chrissy, the next one goes, you know, is correct, and so as bad as it was to see on TV for some people at the time, for obviously Chrissy and I, it was very intense, you know?
Yeah.
For us, you know, I felt bad for everyone else, but yeah, for us, it was like, oh, wow. How is this happening?
Yeah. So Chrissy wins, and then she takes Ashley and then Dr. Mike and ultimately Ryan. And how disappointed were you to not be picked in that?
None. I knew she was not picking me, like, right. And going into it, like once I knew it was her and I knew the only way I would get to see Kelly is if I won. So, I was not disappointed at all. And, you know, I already had an idol, and we've thought like another idol was going to be in play, and I had made a fake idol by this point too. Mm-hmm. And so going back to camp was okay with me, right? Like And I think you hear me tell Kelly, like, you know, 9 more days or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And that's the way, like, I'm just, it's work at this point. I only got 9 days. Like, I'll hug and kiss you here in 10, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I was like, let's go back to work. Let's get to getting.
So you do have this really complicated relationship with Chrissy at this point, because now you're like trying to hide the fake idol so she finds it, correct? And then Lauren is like, what are we doing wasting our time with this? Lauren is going to find her own idol. But Chrissy, that in this episode, I look forward to talking with her about all this, because it seems like she wants you out at one point in this episode. But then when push comes to shove at this tribal council where Lauren is going to ultimately go home, she's saying that she won't write your name down. Ultimately, she ends up on the side of people that are going to go after you at this point. So it just to me, it's unclear exactly how this relationship has changed back and forth in this round.
Right. So it was the whole me lying to her about the vote. Right. And so when we ultimately go to tribal, I don't know if we want to get there yet, but I wanted to plant that fake idol so we could look for the real one, because we didn't know where it was at that point. And me, Devin, and Lauren all went looking together after we didn't get picked. Like, we came back, we made rice, we planted the idol as a group to like draw Chrissy and or Ryan off the scent. And then we went looking for the idol. Right. And once we found the idol, I ended up taking the idol back out of play, because there was no reason to have it in play once I knew where the idol was. Like, that's just, you know, it's almost too mean at that point. And I didn't want to do that to Chrissy. There was a tactful reason for me making and planting a fake idol. And it wasn't just to be mean or whatever. It was just so I could go out and find another idol. It just so happens Lauren found it. I walked right past it and Lauren found it. And then she hollered back at us and called me and Devin back over, which ultimately, you know, hurt her game, but she didn't want idols in the game either. Mm-hmm. She hated idols. And so,
She gave
half to Dr. Mike. She did not want idols
them
in the
so
game.
Much.
But right. But so then, right, we're jumping ahead, because that, like, she needed Dr. Mike at this point, because I had created so much, like, I wanted Lauren gone.
Yeah, let's talk about that, that, how that unraveled, because that happens fast, that Lauren is your tightest ally in the game, even just, you know, very recently. And although she's talking about getting rid of you for a couple of votes. And then so you walk up on Lauren and Devin and Ashley, and they're at the well, and you see, and they totally freak out when you walk over. They did not act natural at all. And you suspect something is up. And so you try to go and get something going with Chrissy and Ryan and Mike. But Chrissy is the one who's sort of dragging her feet on this.
Oh, yeah. She was not having it. Like, there was no way I was ever working with her again. She closed the door real quick on me. And it was like, frankly, like, I don't know, pretty rude about it. Right. Like, you see her talking and everything, and then Ryan was on board. Ryan was like, all right, like, Ryan was willing and ready to work with me. But Mike, you know, Mike was so wishy-washy. So I took a chance and went with those three. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, eventually Mike blows it up by going back and telling Ash and or Devin or whoever.
Now, from the episode, it looks like that Chrissy won't give Mike a straight answer, and Mike's sort of, fight or flight takes over. And so he goes back to Lauren and says, hey, you know, the jig is up. Ben is trying to get you out, try to get in with them after. It seems like that, you know, at first blush, that he would have gone with your plan.
So at one point I hit a brick wall, and I talked to Ashley about it. I talked to Dev about it, too. And nobody, like, there was no one. So that's when I just went around and started, like, disclosing everybody's secrets and be like, no, we got to get Lauren out, like, flat out in the open, and just almost pulling a tactic of Joe, right? To where if this is going to work, I need to, because nobody knows I have the idol. I need to like draw all these votes on me. And, you know, I didn't personally go after anyone or anything like that, but I went around crazy, like telling we need to vote everybody out. And it, you know, ultimately it eventually worked.
So at that point, are you just fully aware that, okay, I have to play my idol tonight, no matter what? I wish that there was a way I didn't have to, but the idol is being played no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah. I knew I was going home. I knew my, like, if I didn't play my idol, I knew I was going home because of the route I chose to take at that point. But I had to, right? Because I knew the pressure was coming down. I knew the hammer was falling. I knew that, like, those guys were only as loyal. I saw them at the well, and then there's a secret scene where I sneak up on them at the beach after Chrissy yells at me. And we do our little night-night stuff. Mm-hmm. And I go down to the beach. Well, it's Mike, Lauren, Ashley, and Devin. And they're consoling Mike, right? Mm-hmm. After Joe goes home. And I'm sitting there like, whoa, I just got yelled at. You guys are down here consoling him. Like, this is not okay. And then the next day is when you see me at the well with him. And that's when I knew, like, I knew I was on the radar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we end up with this tribal council where you end up after Lauren ends up having her idol thrown into the fire by Dr. Mike, or half of it. Everybody is all just like moving around and talking to one another. Could you hear what anybody was saying? Or you didn't care?
No, I didn't care. I think you see, like, it shows me, and I'll just kick back with my legs out. At one point I tell Ashley, I'm like, you can get up and go talk too. Like, I don't care. And was just trying to, you know, accept the fact that, like, I was trying to show them that I knew that I was going home. Right. And Ashley was like, well, you've done this to yourself. And Lauren is like, you're an idiot. Mm-hmm. And she called me King Moron, I think, at one point. Right.
That didn't stick.
I love her. I didn't stick. It didn't stick. No, it sticks. Like, me and her still talking, and she'll call me up and she'll be like, hey, what's up, King Moron? And I love her for it. So, but yeah. And, no, it was absolutely crazy. I didn't hear what they were saying. I can only imagine. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it, you know, almost turned into like a theatrical thing, honestly, because I'm pretty sure they were all voting for me from the get go.
Yeah. And so ultimately, Lauren is going to go out, and then we get to the final six. Now, your back is against the wall. You know, if I don't find an idol here, I am going to definitely be next. And so this is when, you know, you're out there idol hunting, and everybody at home is saying, how come nobody is following this guy?
Right, right. Because I outworked everybody. I would always keep the fire going. I would always get water for everybody. You know, I kept the fire going so much because I hated making fire with Flint. Ironically, right? I would stay up all night, you know, and tend to the fire. I dragged logs out of the forest. And so I was constantly moving and working around the island while people were sleeping. And so me being out getting water and stuff isn't like I just woke up and like, oh, I'm going to go get water. No, I've been working all day, all morning long, and taking care of camp life. Right. And so I'm out there looking and working, and it's like they just couldn't keep up with it. And so that's how a lot of alone time came, was I outworked everybody.
Were you surprised that nobody was even giving you, like, opening the door a little bit? There's that moment in this episode where you're going to see, where we see that, you know, Chrissy is going to go on the reward again with Ryan and Devin. They've sort of like gotten that threesome back together, and you're with Dr. Mike and Ashley, and you're talking about like, well, what if we did this? What if we did this? And they're both like not giving you the time of day.
Yeah. Yeah. They were, I remember Ash being so mad at me, also, and Dr.
What?
Mike, it was my fault. You know, we were a team, you know, and all the, we won a bunch of challenges together. And then when it came down to that one, she felt like we should have run it. It came down to the ring toss. Right. And so, yeah, it was my fault that we had lost that. And so going back to camp, she was hangry. And she really was. She got emotional about it, and her not being picked, by Devin, and Chrissy taking Ryan, hurt her feelings. And I was just back trying to stir stuff up, right? Mm-hmm. And see if I can't maneuver a way into this alliance. But she was not having it because, you know, go back to where Joe's on the island, right? Joe's on the island saying, if Ben gets to the final three, I'm voting for him. If Ben, you know, that was his mm-hmm. you know, spiel to get me voted off. Well, now Joe's on the, like, the jury. And so that's when people really started, like, no, we have to get Ben out. We have to get Ben out. And then obviously voting, you know, Lauren out with one vote, that just looked good for my game. People, I think, were intimidated by that.
Yeah. So this episode, okay, so you ultimately, you end up with the immunity idol again. And, you know, there's a plan that's going on where potentially there could be a split vote. We never end up seeing how it goes on because you end up playing the idol before the votes are cast. Was that something that you had ever considered doing before? Or just I'd love to know what was your thought process of doing it there, where it was like, did you feel like you would have more leverage in the conversation of who should go out if you did it that way?
No. So I knew going into tribal that they were going to split the votes between me and Ashley. Mm-hmm. It made sense for them to do that because they had just got blown out with an idol and a single vote last time. Right. And mm-hmm. Chrissy had wanted Ashley out from the Heroes Beach. I knew Chrissy and Ryan were tight. They just took Devin, you know, on a reward. I knew that was the bond. And so that was the angle I was taking. Mike was an easy take and Ashley was a physical threat and Chrissy wanted her out. And so I knew they were going to throw hedge their bets on Ashley going into tribal. So me playing that with, like, and Devin did good. Devin did real good. He was like, well, I don't think Ben has an idol. And that's when I pulled it out and, mm-hmm. and him saying, well, I don't think he's going to play it. That's when I was like, I'll play right now. Like, I'm playing it regardless. Well, I'll tell you guys right now that I'm playing this idol tonight. You know, I had to, cause they were going to split the votes.
So they would have done that no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah. They would have split the votes no matter what. Ashley was going home regardless.
In that tribal council, you say, though, that, hey, I'm going to put my vote on Dr. Mike, but it ends up being Ashley who goes home. And you also vote for Ashley. Were you bluffing when you were saying you were going to vote for Dr. Mike?
No. So I was trying to get Devin and Ashley on board and split the votes, right, and make mm-hmm. it interesting. But Devin was not coming with Ash. And Mike, one point, looked at Ash and was like, I'm sorry. And Devin went and said, like, the same thing, like, you know, I'm sorry, but it's you, even before we voted. And I voted Ashley to go back to camp, and I had no more idols. And that was going to be my tactic going back to camp, being like, hey, you know, I voted with you guys. Come on, someone, you know, let's get this going. Chrissy and Ryan are, you know, too strong. I was hoping to work with Devin and Mike.
All right. So you guys get back to camp, and what else is new? You are, you know, back against the wall, and if you don't find an idol, you're going to be voted out of the game. So
yeah,
it looks like from the episode that you stay up all night at this point at the final five looking for the idol while everybody else is sleeping. Is that how it went down?
I stayed up very, very late. I was the last one to definitely go to bed again. Like, I would always keep the fire going, you know? And so, I think at that point, like, what happened then? At some point I let the fire go out. Cause I was like, you know what? I'm done. Like, I'm done keeping the fire going. And I let the fire go out cause I thought I was going home, and I stayed up all night looking for that very, very late. And I remember being able to run around the island because in the middle of the night, like when we got to Yawa, I was there with Lauren, Cole, and Jess and Dr. Mike, right? And then, but that was the merge beach. And mm-hmm. so I spent more time, that was like home. You know, when you walk around, you know, in your house at night when the light's off, you're not running into corner. So that's how it was for me out there on the island, was like, that was my home. Those were like my hallways and stuff. And so being able to maneuver around the island at night and look for what, you know, is a mechanism, which is paint, it was easy for me to do, but I didn't find it late that night. I ended up waking up again early in the morning and like being like, all right, the sun's going to hit the beach first. This is where, you know, you're going to start your sweep of the island. And, you know, the sun ultimately started peeking up, and that's when I started looking around and, you know, find the X, and it was unreal, and it was unbelievable. I couldn't believe it as it was happening, you know.
Now, you use the word sweep, which I think is interesting. So did you rely on your background in the Marines to sort of like systematically comb the island?
Yeah, in a way. Yeah. And it worked. It was tactically it worked for me. Right. Because that island became my home. And so any rock or any bush or anything out of place or like, where a new trail or a new track in the bushes, you can see where other people were looking for idols, right? And I don't even know if they were looking for idols. I like to think they were. I hope they were. But like that island became my home, and so anything out of place, I knew, you know.
Can I ask you your system, if you don't mind revealing it before some sort of all winter season? But do you go by landmarks, or do you sort of just like completely go through one area and then, okay, this area is clear, I'm not going to go back to this?
Right. So, I mean, wow. Rob, what if I go back? What if I get a chance to go back?
Yeah, but I mean, who's what other winners are like 2 hours into your podcast interview?
Right, exactly. True. Probably not much. You know, yeah, I would section the island out is what I would do. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, for instance, like clearing a house. If we have to go in and clear a house and check for bad guys, you start, you know, at the outside of the house and assess the situation. You look at it big picture, right? And then you start dialing, okay, well, how do we get in this doorway? And what happens when we get in the doorway? And then you start clearing the house. You got rooms, you got hallways, you got stairwells. And it could be any time at any moment, you know, you have to just be aware of your surroundings and attention to detail. I think Sarah said it, and that attention to detail, you know, situation, it really comes into handy. That's what I use to be able to find idols and sweep the island.
Okay. So now you have the idol here at the final five, and then you have it. Is it already before they even have the immunity challenge, right? Because, or no, it's that they go on a reward/immunity and Chrissy wins here. And then she goes on the reward with Mike and with Devin, and they come up with the plan of they're going to give you, or right, Chrissy's going to pull out the fake idol and say, okay, well, no use looking for idols anymore. Yeah. Ivor, look at this baby.
Yeah. You know, what's funny is before that reward, when she was picking her people, I was like, if you don't pick me, I'm going to go back and find another idol. I was telling her that. I was like, you got to take, cause I was so hungry, right? All these, I hadn't been picked on a reward since, you know, the shower and stuff. And we were so low on rice. And I was so hungry, and I was just trying anything. I was like, I'm going to go back and find an idol if you don't pick me. And she never would pick me, but I had the idol.
You already had it.
I had the idol. Yeah. But yeah. And so, yeah, they come up with this plan, which is great to see on TV. Right. Like, cause I didn't get to see or even hear about it. You know, all I saw was what you guys, when she pulls it out, and I'm like, wait a second, what is that thing? You know, I thought it was like a trinket off like a napkin or wrapped around some mustard bottle. Like I didn't know it was a super idol. I didn't think it was an idol, because all my idols were shells. Plus I had the real idol in my boot. Right. Mm-hmm. So when she pulled it out, it was like, oh my God, thank you, Lord. Because I didn't have to fake look for idols. Like Ryan followed me around. When they didn't take Ryan, the main thing about this was like the reward was on our island, right? So we all went back to the beach, and then the three of them just went off, and Ryan it was me and Ryan.
Well,
and
why'd you have to keep it up? I mean, why couldn't you have just been like Chrissy with the fake idol and say like, look, all right, I'm not going home today. I'm just going to hang out in the shelter the rest of the time. Why'd you have to keep up the facade?
Because it was amazing. And for her to think that she had a leg up on me, and watch her like parade around like that and just be so snide and rude about it, it made it like, it was so fun just to be like, oh shucks, you got me. Mm-hmm. You finally got me, you know? And and plus at like that tribal, you know, dropping Ben bombs, was kind of fun. I don't know. That's a little much.
Yeah. Like, I don't think he changed the game.
I don't think he blew up the game.
Now, when you did that, you know, there was a lot of talk on podcasts and in blogs about how, you know, the reaction that the jury has to that, where Chrissy won 4 immunity challenges, which is an amazing achievement. Ended up playing 3 idols, but there's been some talk about, for a jury, is it more impactful to play an idol as opposed to walk in with the necklace? Because with the necklace, people, they didn't see what happened. It's just like, okay, Chrissy won again. They don't know if it was tiddlywinks or, you know, some sort of like a Iron Man match. Or right. Whereas you get to drop a Ben bomb, pull it out of your bag, have the big reaction. So was that something that you were thinking about, how that plays in front of the jury, that the advantage of playing idols on people?
So at the time, no, it never crossed my mind at the time. From the very first idol I played, I knew I was going to go home the next tribal. After playing my idol, I was having fun with it, right? Because everybody had literally turned their back on me. I tried to get in on so many different alliances and maneuver and finagle my way into some sort of alliance, but there was always a brick wall, right? So like the Ben bombs and the everything at tribal was just me having fun, knowing that I was going to be sitting in the jury the next tribal council. And ultimately, like, I never ended up doing that. So I never did it intentionally for a theatrics or, you know, a pageantry to the jury. It just ended up working out that way.
But you had a flair for it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, apparently I do. I didn't know that. That's a new talent I guess I have. And I don't know if I can put that on a resume, but it turns out it's pretty entertaining to watch.
Yeah. All right. So that... Basically, Devin ends up saving himself here by throwing a vote on to Dr. Mike.
Great move.
Yeah, because you cast your vote for Devin. Why Devin? You felt like that he was the biggest threat for you?
Yeah, biggest threat. Devin had made so many friends outside of like Ashley. Him and Ashley were tight, but like the whole no hug thing, I felt Devin was a huge jury threat and also a mountain to get over on that final four challenge. Right. Because the final four, like the puzzles keep everybody in the game, but the final four is pretty equal as far as like it is what it is, you know, and ultimately that's what we got in that challenge was it is what it is. It was equal across the whole entire. You didn't have to be smart. You didn't have to like you just had to balance, you know, freaking blocks. Right.
Yeah.
And put them upright.
Okay. Well, let's talk about that challenge. OK, so now no more idols are in play. It's down to the final four. And you guys have this sort of like a teeter totter of like with blocks on it that you have to spell out: heroes, healers, hustlers. And, you know, I was in the room at the live show and, you know, people were going nuts. It was an epic challenge that they ended up having where it looks as though you are about to win that challenge, but you've got that upside down you, which ultimately ends up costing you, and then the thing goes down. Could you just describe your reaction to that all happening to you?
It was when I got back to the box, I remember yelling Jeffrey, thinking I had it, and you know, just like pure excitement, pure joy. They weren't going to be able to vote me out. Like you made it to the final three. I knew it made it. And then when he came over and he was like, no, something is wrong. I was like, no, they're all up there. Like it never crossed my mind that something was upside down. But you know, cause beforehand I'd placed the blocks, you know, right side up and I knew how I was taking, but I guess on the U I had turned it a different way. And when I ran up there and saw it, it was like, all right, well, this is an easy fix. You got this. All you have to do is just, you know, unlatch it. You'll go down to the farthest end and grab the U, switch it up and go back and latch it. And that challenge was incredibly hard, incredibly hard.
How hot was it?
It was hot. I know there's pictures of myself and I believe Devin, and we're just like sweating profusely. I know at the end when I sat down, some of those are tears, but some of that's like pure sweat because you know, you weren't moving a lot. You were moving very, very slow. The sun was beating down on you. you know, the creeks, I relive that challenge all the time. And what a great challenge. And it played out on TV amazingly, even though I lost and I knew what happened in the end. I was on the edge of my seat watching that at the reunion, because it was it was awesome. And John did an amazing job on that. And it was really fun to see it play out on TV like that.
Yeah, I really like the challenges where somebody could go from first place to last place in an instant. And it's always fun when you have that element where it's like you can't have a blowout, or even if somebody is way, way ahead, like it can all come back down to earth. And then it ultimately did in your case. And Chrissy, it looked like she had it a couple times before she ultimately won it.
Ryan almost had it too. Ryan almost had it also. He had it. He was close also on once. It was incredible.
Now, Ben, when you saw, or maybe you didn't see, after the finale, there were pictures where it looked like Chrissy had an upside down S in her completed puzzle. Did that make you mad?
No. You know, I know people, I think, I saw that it was tweeted at me or something like that. But, you know, Jeff beforehand was like, look, S's, O's, H's, stuff like that, you know, that doesn't matter, is allowed. Obviously, like an upside down U is a lowercase N. It's not even a U, right? Mm-hmm. So that's wrong. No, Chrissy won fair and square. Mm-hmm. She beat me on that. She beat all three of us. And I lost because of my mistake and my boneheadedness. But that was not, I was not upset or calling foul on that by any means. Okay. So she won.
So now you're dead in the water, that there's no more idols. You're going to be voted out. But then there is this twist. And it's been a controversial and polarizing twist, certainly. And so just in terms of the reaction, in terms of when did you a tribal council is when you first found out that you were going to be participating and you were going to have a chance.
Yeah. Yeah. Going in to tribal council, I remember I was looking for an idol. I had three papers that said there's no more idols. Well, an idol can't be played until final five. Right. Mm-hmm. But I was still looking for an idol. Maybe that twist was like, hey, here's a map to an idol. Like, here's a super idol, you know, or whatever. Who knows? Mm-hmm. I thought that maybe the twist was she gets to, knock someone off the jury since it was an even number on the jury.
Oh, so because that was out there, that there was some, there is a twist. You felt like that maybe there was a chance of some magic bullet still out there.
Right. Like, I never once thought that it was going to be to where it worked out the way it did. I thought I was going to go home and then the twist was going to be effective at that three. Right. Mm-hmm. And so going into final try, I knew I was going home, and you see me just sitting there, I had not given up, I tried working with Chrissy that day. You see me go and talk to her, about the twist and everything. And with Ryan and Devin, and we had heart to hearts, and I knew I was going home. I accepted the fact, there was no way they were going to take me. And so, once she started reading it and reality started hitting in, it was whoa, wait a sec. Is that real? Mm-hmm. what's the catch? Mm-hmm. And
did you feel confident once you found out, okay, making the fire, I can do this?
No. Like I said, I hated making fire with Flint because, all right, day one, whatever, we're at Heroes Beach. I think me and JP were trying to make the fire. And when, not knowing what happens at the end, at the time when you're making fire with Flint, the camera guys get down up in there and watch you make fire, because ultimately that's going to be an iconic thing later, come to find out. Right. But you don't know that at the time. And so you feel the pressure of number one, being on Survivor, number two, trying to make fire with Flint, which I did once in my driveway before I left. So I hated making fire with Flint. And to have it come down to a fire making competition, me knowing at the time when I knew, I think benefited my game, where it ultimately hurt Devin's, right? Because he had time to think about it. Mm-hmm. Where I knew, this is what I had to do to get into the final three. And so, when it came down to the fire, I I knew I had to do it. I was very nervous about it, though, because I hated making fire with Flint.
So you feel like that the pressure was on him more because he knew all day that he had to do it, where it was sort of more sprung on you.
Right. Yeah. Rewatching it, like watching it happen. I mean, Devin made fire a lot. Devin liked making fire with Flint also, though. And like Devin would make fires around camp quite a bit with the Flint when like, and I didn't like doing it. And so going up against Devin, it was like a mountain for me, right? Like going up against a guy who likes making fire, who will step up and make fire with Flint every single time, to where like me, where I'd like, I'll just stay up all night and keep the fire going, you know, because it was ironic that it turned out the way it did.
So, and you were loosey goosey because basically you had already lost the game. You didn't win the final four challenge and you already dealt with the okay, I've lost and, you know, I've sort of let my family down. I came out here to do this for them. And so you'd already gone through that. And then this was just like a second life for you.
Oh yeah. Incredible. I knew that I had a shot again. I went from feeling completely, you know, beaten and just hungry. I remember being like, you know, I lost a game, but I finally get a cheeseburger. Like you were trying to justify losing because you knew that, like, I knew that I was gone. I knew that I was gone. So I was trying to make it as happy as I could. And so I remember being like, you get a cheeseburger after tribal tonight. Like, it's going to be okay. Like, you can drink a beer, you know, and just looking for towards the good stuff. And then to have that sprung up on you like that, it was like an excitement of no kind. You know, it was adrenaline and the opportunity. And like, you can feel the tension in the room too. And the excitement, you know, between Devin and I, and even the jury and Jeff was there. Like it was incredible. It was a battle that was going to happen. And everyone knew it was going to happen quick too. Mm-hmm. And you see it happen and it happens really quick.
Now, I'm sure a lot of people want to know that the reaction to the new twist, you know, has not been popular, at least with a lot of people that are posting on social media. Does that bother you at all? Or are you just laughing all the way to the bank with the final four twist?
Well, you know, in a way, it doesn't bother me because it's a new thing in Survivor. Anytime that there's something new in Survivor, of course, if it's the first one or the first time to happen, if you're not the person they like, people are going to be offended and not like it. You know, the Devin fans out there think that the twist was horrible. The Ben fans think that the twist was awesome, right? Mm-hmm. But
Chrissy fans aren't crazy about it either.
Chrissy fans, you guys are loyal. Good job. Awesome. Love you. But anyways,
the Ryan fan didn't love it either.
Oh, no, you know, no. Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, who wins in that situation? Right. If we want to like go down a rabbit hole, who wins in the Devin, Chrissy, Ryan situation? Mm-hmm. And that's something that, like, who knows?
Well, right? Who would you have voted for?
Not Chrissy.
OK,
I wouldn't have voted for Chrissy. And I don't think much other people would have also, but who knows? That's something else. That's like, that's a different like podcast.
So you feel like that Devin, if you weren't there in the final three, Devin would have gone on to win.
I think Devin or Ryan, maybe. I think because Ryan did also play a very, very good social game, but Devin ultimately, you know, like he had Devin and Ryan would have had to separate like who made what moves also though. And so that, whoever came out on top on that, on those two, that would have, I think, swayed a lot of votes. And I'm just speaking for me. Mm-hmm. I can't speak for everyone else. So, you know, I don't think Lauren would have voted for Ryan or Chrissy. So she probably would have got, you know, Devin's vote. Who Dr. Mike and Ash probably still would have voted for Chrissy. And then you go down the line. I mean, Joe respects game, right? Mm-hmm. And at that point in time, like maybe he, I don't know because of the social game Chrissy played with Joe.
But
and so
Chrissy wouldn't have gotten a look from the jury in terms of her game where she won four immunity challenges and was, you know, a key contributor on a lot of these votes.
Yes, but I think her social game and her unawareness, right? I know people and fans said that I was so lack of social awareness. It didn't show the heart to hearts and the one-on-ones I had with people. And those were really real conversations. Whereas I think Chrissy and I, or Chrissy's tactic was more of a book and a numbers assessment of an individual, where like ultimately, like my heart to hearts in the end, you know, brought, you know, votes my way as opposed to her.
You feel like she didn't connect with people in the same way that you were.
I don't think she did. Honestly, I don't think she did. And it's unfortunate because she's a strong and a very powerful woman. What she did to tie the record, like I couldn't beat her, right? Hats off to her. But like if my social game was bad, then hers was what would Ryan say? Atrocious?
I don't know. We'll talk to Chrissy. We'll get her side of everything eventually too. So
I knew, like, hats off to Chrissy. First off, I want to say that, like, Chrissy, you know, I feel for Chrissy, and Ryan too. Mm-hmm. I didn't go in thinking I was going to win $1 million. I went in thinking I had lost to Chrissy, honestly. Especially hearing her speech at the final tribal council. Right. So I feel bad for them. I'm glad I won, but I feel for them because we're still people. That's the thing is, you know, you, me, Chrissy, Ryan, we're still just human beings, and we get thrown into a spotlight and people, you know, get so aggressive and angry behind a keyboard to where they're making death threats and, you know, wishing, you know, bad things upon my kids and stuff. And it's like, you guys just need to take a step back and realize that we're real people. We aren't actors. We're not, you know, we're not paid to go out there and starve and lose 30 pounds and stress and, you know, leave our families without paychecks. We're real people. And I think some people sometimes, I'm glad they're passionate about Survivor because I am too. And it's amazing. And you can sit there and yell, but when you start personally attacking us, that's like, you know, let's just get along here. We're doing it for our families. We're doing it for fun because we love it. And we just need to take a step back as a community in the Survivor community and protect each other. Right. Because without us, there is no Survivor. If we all start, you know, going head to toe to toe and like what's going to happen. Right.
Right.
So
did that happen when you talk about that people were, you know, sending you a lot of negative comments? Was that during the season or that was after the finale?
No, during the season, after the finale, you know, it was funny. A group of people started a group conversation with me and it went through the whole show. Right. Mm-hmm. And it was like, yeah, you're getting known, yada, yada, yada. And then you finally see like the wind out of their sails right at the fire making challenge. And then the group chat stops. But yeah, people are pretty aggressive.
Facebook? They started a group chat with you?
No, on like Instagram. I didn't even know how. I didn't even know how they do this. First off, I never had social media before any of this, right? I didn't even know what a podcast was, Rob. I learned what a podcast was when I was out on the island.
Look, that's like how we get 20 new listeners every season.
Every season. Yeah. Oh, it's that. Yeah. That's job security, right?
Hey, I heard that we got your mom listening.
My mom is definitely listening. My aunt, everybody, my whole family, you know, is awesome. You guys, you and the community is so fun. That's the thing. The community is so fun and there's so much good that comes out of it. And you can debate tactics and, you know, game moves and stuff like that. And, you know, you can call me whatever you want. But once you start attacking like my family, like that's when it's like, come on, guys, like we're here to have fun. We go on the show. You know, I never thought about what would happen after I went and played Survivor. I'm a fan. I wanted to go and be on Survivor, meet Jeff, play the challenges, you know, carry a torch. I never thought like it would be like this after Survivor, you know, to where there's so much hate and there's a lot of support also, but take it easy on Ryan. The wand up. Keep shining. Katrina, right here. Keep shining, right? Like, that's all we need to do is just keep shining.
Right. You just got to block out the negative parts because there are so many people who I've gotten to meet through doing this. I mean, this is going to be 8 years in February that I'm doing this. And there are, you know, so many wonderful people that are out there in the fan community that I've gotten to meet. You just got to block out all of the toxic stuff if you want to keep saying. But I really do feel badly that you and your family have had to deal with. Like, I choose to live in this world, but I feel that if, for people that come into it and have no idea what's going on, then, you know, it's a sort of a unfortunate thing to have to deal with.
Yeah. Yeah. But in the same breath, you know, I did choose to go on a reality TV show. Right. Yeah. So you kind of got to take the punches. But, you know, I guess, you know, it is the same way for everyone. Chrissy, Ryan, they all have their haters too. And just ease up, guys. Have fun. Yeah. Reddit. You know, you guys are, you keep the show going on the off season and what you do in the off season. And yeah, let's just have fun.
Let's just church it up, everybody.
We'll church
it
up. Let's church it up together.
Just church this up.
That's right. That's right.
Well, I want to start to bring in some of the questions from the listeners. I guess, also, let me just touch on the Final Tribal Council, because I never really give that its due in these things. Do you feel like that the Final Tribal Council, like what we get to see on television, is that like an accurate depiction of how that really goes down?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Our Final Tribal Council was so long. I think it was one of the longest tribal councils ever because of the new format. And that was brutal. Going up against Chrissy and Ryan, right, was horrible. Both those people are intelligent. They can talk. They can articulate their words. They know words in the dictionary that I've never even seen and used them. It was very intimidating. And plus, I was in complete shock that I had gotten there. Right. Like, it was like, wait, what just happened? It was Final Tribal leaving. It was a good feeling that, like, OK, you made it to day 39. But there was never a easy feeling of, oh, yeah, you won, you know, because that tribal council was long and we went back and forth. Like, there was no safe words. Like, it was brutal.
Did you have a sense that you were the winner, though, or were you going into the finale not knowing how it turned out?
No, because you come home and you watch the show, right? And then you watch, like, not the edit, but what they choose to show, right? Because there's 3 days. We've all heard 3 days, 45 minutes, but it's imperative of what they show. So you on the island and you don't know what goes on behind your back. And so I never thought that I had won, and watching the show and listening to exit interviews on your podcast and stuff and you know, Why Blank Loss with all your podcasts, right? And you start reading into stuff and like Desi said she would vote for someone who could articulate on one of her exit press. And right there I was like, okay, well, that's not me. Like, I lost her vote, you know. And Lauren, I didn't know how Lauren viewed my game, because we were so close to each other, and the way, you know, it went down, we were very close and we still are very close, but I didn't know how she was going to vote, you know. And with Joe, I figured Joe would vote for me because he said he would, and Joe's a man of his word. That's one thing that, like, Joe's as honest as it gets. When Joe says he's going to do something, he does it. And so, but JP, you know, I knew it was tight with Chrissy. Cole, you know, I knew I thought I talked to Cole respectfully enough, you know, and I let him know everything when he was going home. And so I didn't know how he was going to view that, though, as far as like gameplay. Right. So I never, ever thought that I had won fully. I thought there was a chance, like, I'd have days where I'm like, yeah, I won. I might have a chance. But like on other days, it was like, you'd read something or watch something, and I was like, yeah, I know, why'd they give that to, you know, Chrissy and Ryan, you know? And so, yeah, it was a 7 months of pure hell.
Yeah. Could you talk about what's your relationship like with Chrissy now that you guys, obviously you went through this whole experience together where you started together and then had this sort of, split up strategically in the middle of the game, but then, you know, have gone through this entire adventure together.
Right. So, I mean, like, I think Chrissy got the heat pretty bad from a bunch of fans. And when that happened, I reached out to her and was like, look, you know, it's okay. It's just people behind, you know, keyboards and you know, I felt really bad for her. I think Chrissy has done amazing things. And what she did on the show is awesome, right? And I have her back. I really do. Like, if it came down to it, I think I would have her back. Am I going to fly out to have dinner with her? Mm-hmm. Probably not, though. You know, like, I think that we're just two different.
What if she's
people.
Paying?
If she's paying, I don't know, right? No, I don't.
It's a free dinner.
Where am I? Where she lives in New Jersey? Like, what?
A lot of good restaurants now, there.
Is there?
Probably.
Probably it's New Jersey, right? Yeah. They have a hockey team. Like, if they're playing the Bruins, I'd love to go to a hockey game. Right? Like, let's get Brett out there. Hold on, we can make this happen. We should all go to a hockey game. That's what we should do. Get the Survivor alumni, go drink beer and watch a hockey game.
How are you a Bruins fan?
You know, I'm a Bruins fan, I'm a Browns fan, and I'm a Wyoming Cowboys fan. And the Browns, one day they're going to be good. I'm hoping.
You say so.
Wyoming, they're starting to, you know, move up in the ranks. And the Bruins have always been a hard-nosed, come-at-you hockey team. Mm-hmm. And a hockey next to NASCAR is the best sport. But NASCAR is where it's at, by the way.
Hockey, NASCAR, 1 and 2.
Yeah. Well, no, NASCAR hockey. Yeah, the NASCAR is where it's at, bud. You want to talk about excitement.
There you go. All right. So let me, we went through so many different things, but I have some questions from the listeners. So let me just try to get to a couple of things quickly that we didn't cover. So Dara and Nathan both wanted to know, could you tell us what church this up means?
So yeah.
Oh, and I got hammered from people like, oh, you don't know what church it up means. And no, I didn't know what it means. And so you said,
should we just church this up?
So I Googled church this up and nobody's ever said church this up, but apparently church it up is what I needed to Google.
Yeah. What did you get when you said church it up?
Nothing. You were the only person that ever said church this up.
Oh, but church it up. Is that, did you get anything when you said church it up?
Yeah. Or, like make it really good.
Yeah, so church this up, you know, it's the same kind of thing. It's what do you call that? Church it up. I'm going to church this up. I'm going to church this situation up. I'm going to make it exciting. You know, I've used it before. I'm going to, you know, take a crappy situation and make it good, you know. So yeah. Church it up. I'm going to church this up.
Ben, would you consider an all-winter season? That's from Dan Sinensky.
Oh, 100%.
You'd go right? back.
Like, oh, in a heartbeat, regardless for even whatever season it is, I'd go back. I think in an all winter season, I might have a better chance. And
be a lot of competition for those idols. These guys, these winners aren't going to, you know, sleep in and let you go look for idols to your heart's content.
I know. Right. But like at the same
time, Tony out there.
Oh, man. Can you imagine, though? I would love. I'm still a fan, though, right? Like I would be the new guy on the island and just, oh, it'd be amazing. It would be so fun. And I think I would have a better, I don't know. It'd be crazy. It would be really fun.
Okay. Crystal Taylor wants to know, how long would you have been loyal to Lauren had you not overheard the well conversation with Lauren, Devin, and Ashley? Would you have taken that all the way to the final four?
No, I would have taken her to like the 7. But really once I decided to turn on Lauren, that was like the deciding factor because she had the idol she had cut up. She had the secret advantage, Devin, Ash, and she was controlling the entire game. And there was no way I could compete with that. Right. You know, the whole dictator thing had ruined me and Lauren stepped up because they needed a leader, you know, they needed a leader and Lauren stepped up and took control and just like ran with it. And I think she would have gotten very far if I didn't do what I did.
Okay. Morgan Eastwood wants to know, ask Ben how he felt about his post-military service PTSD being highlighted on the show. And if he had many people reach out to say that your experience has helped them. So in terms of the overall story that was told on the show, that do you have any complaints with how it was depicted in terms of your Survivor experience?
No, not at all. CBS and Survivor, they show the truth, right? See, they can only, you can only they can only show what you give them. And what they showed was the truth. And so I can't knock it one way or the other, because that's reality, right? Like, that's reality for me. That's reality for a bunch of other men and women out there. And so I can't look at that and say that that's wrong, or they're showing something that isn't true, when in all reality, that's what it is exactly its reality.
So at the finale, they ended up bringing out three guys who you had known from your time in the service. Could you just give some other some background information? So you hadn't seen those guys since you were in Iraq?
Right. So not Iraq, since Camp Pendleton. We had got back from Iraq and back in Pendleton. And I, like, after that, I had gotten out and we had talked for a little bit. And then I went through a point in my life where I didn't have a cell phone or anything like that. And I didn't let anyone. So those guys had no clue where I was. They had no way of contacting me. I didn't have social media or anything like that. And so, yeah, I hadn't seen those guys since I was in uniform. And for that to happen, I mean,
and they were just watching the TV and they saw you on there and then they tried to reach out.
Well, yeah. So first, after I got back from Fiji and everything like that, that's when I started getting into social media, because if any opportunities were to arise from this, apparently social media is the best way to get a hold of you. Right. And so it was like something like, well, is that something I want? But you don't know how the game's going to play out. You don't know. But we ultimately, my wife and I decided well, we probably should, just in case. And then that's how they started, holy cow, Dre, that's what they called me back in the military, because my last name's ridiculously long, so they call me Dre. They're like, Dre's on, exactly. Dre's on social media, and so, it filtered through the ranks, and then we were talking, and obviously I would help promote the show and do stuff like that. And so once they figured it out, they watched and everything, and then my wife ultimately and Survivor and CBS somehow behind my back figured that out, and it was 100% a surprise. And that was incredibly I had no clue that was going to happen, and seeing them boys like that and them being dads and bearded dad bodied like me, was great, right? Back in our prime, we were, fighting for our country over in Iraq, and now we're just a bunch of, bearded dads, and it was awesome. And we didn't skip a beat. We ended up partying, like we were back when we were 21,
Did you keep in touch with those guys over these last couple of weeks?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like we're going to get some hunting trips together. We're going to go to the races together a lot, we're definitely not going to let it go as long as we did, but the first time for sure.
Felipe wants to know, Ben, do you have any good behind the scenes Lauren Rimmer or Dr. Mike stories?
I do. I have a lot of them. And unfortunately, those are all my stories. I'm pretty good at secrets. secret, right?
Secret.
There it is. Yeah. So, we'll I'm going to hold on to those and cherish those though.
I'm looking to see if there's anything else. I got a couple of questions for you about, does Ben, have any personal, recorded Wandoff submissions? What song parody is he going to send in for Ghost Island?
Right. So Brett and I think are going to collaborate on something. I know Brett's a fan of the Wandoffs, and, I think him and I are going to get together, hopefully.
I didn't think he was. I thought he was out on the Wandoff. Maybe you talked him into it.
Oh, no. Yeah, I think I got him talked into something here. But yeah, I love the Wandoff. For me, it's a 1 week. Like, you guys do such amazing work in 1 week. And to come up with these songs, I love music. And to have it, interact with Survivor is awesome, and these guys, they're so creative and so witty, and keep it up. You guys are doing awesome.
Okay. And then one last one. Kirsten McInnes wants to know, can Ben give any advice for family members / loved ones of armed forces members or veterans? Obviously it's really difficult to understand the struggles they've faced from his perspective. What's the best way to show support? And so I asked you on the red carpet when, what should people do who might be going through something like what you went through. But what about for like people who are like family members or, you know, have a friend who they think could be dealing with some of the issues that you dealt with?
You know, it's hard, right? If someone has PTSD, you know, my wife has gotten a lot of support and, you know, people reaching out to her and just being like, you know, we know what you're going through. You're such a strong woman. Thank you so much. Like, how did you do it? Do you have any tips and stuff for us? And honestly, the thing is Kelly let me be me and was always supportive, but never enforcive, right? She never forced herself mm-hmm. onto a situation.
How did she know what to do?
She didn't know. She came in totally, she was like, she had no clue about it because at this point in like in my life, it was to where I was ready to make a change. Right. And then she had came and I don't think I hid it a lot from her at the beginning. And I, you know, I wasn't completely like honest with her up front because who goes into a relationship and be like, oh, by the way, like mm-hmm. I might be crazy. Right. Cause that's, you're not crazy, but that's how you're like, she was always just supportive, but when I needed my time and to be alone and to work through it by myself, she would give me that time and that opportunity to where she's not forcing like, well, you know, you have to tell me about this or like, no, talk to me. I'm your wife. We can do this together. Like sometimes it's just a normal reaction for us. That doesn't mean anything in our like relationship lifetime thing, right? Mm-hmm. To where on the outside, it looks like it's a really big deal, but it's us just trying to work through something and cope with it and come back to reality. You know, I don't know if that makes sense, but it's you as a vet or someone in general, you know, anyone who's gone through PTSD have to be willing to accept the fact that that's who we are. That's a part of us, whether it be combat, you know, people who have gone through sexual molestation or rape and, you know, shootings in public, right? That's a part of us. And the sooner we accept the fact that that's who we are and that's how we grow from it, you can't hide it. You can't force it away. That's part of our memory bank. And once you accept the fact and being able to move on from it and grow from it and learn from it, and take the steps to do it, that's what makes you stronger. And that's what will ultimately be able to get you past that depression and that anxiety and that fear. And as far as loved ones, just be there. You know, you got to be there for them and don't pressure them. And when they need help, they'll come and ask you for it. But don't force it, you know, mm-hmm. but just let them know that you love them. That's what got me through a lot was just love. My family members, my friends, that's all it took.
And I have to say again that meeting your wife at the finale, Kelly, your mom and your aunt were both, you know, really sweet and, you know, came up to me and were talking to me at that after party after the finale. You know, you've got a really great family.
Yes, thank you very much. And they have been the support group and that's what all, you know, ultimately helped me. Get to where I'm at today to be a father, a husband, and now a survivor player, right? Like that's unreal. Unreal.
How recognizable are you in Idaho?
When I wear my hat out, I'm very recognizable. But I've been wearing my ball cap around it, and it's cold here mm-hmm. too. So it's beanie season. And the good thing about Idaho is beards are prevalent. So I tend to blend in quite a bit as long as I don't wear my hat around.
My research team is telling me you're the third survivor from Idaho after Sherry Beathman and Taylor Stocker.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And
you have a meetup with them.
No. apparently Sherry owns some restaurants around here. Taylor, I think lived in Twin Falls at one point, but as a Boise survivor community, I don't think there is one.
Okay. Well, you maybe you get it started.
Yeah. Let's. Yeah. Me. Yeah. Let's do it. You.
Okay. Well, Ben, thank you so much for taking so much time out of your day. I know that you've got a lot going on. It's not easy to take 3 hours away from your family. So I appreciate that, and I'm sure the listeners do as well. So thank you again for taking us through this crazy adventure.
Awesome, Rob. Thanks so much. Like I said, this is the pinnacle of Survivor.
This is it.
Doing the after show with you and talking about it for 3 hours now. And yeah, this is amazing. So awesome. It come full circle, and you guys keep slaying it with the wand off. Yeah. Rob, Josh,
did you listen to the final wand off? Did you have?
It's the final wand off, right? Something like that. Yeah.
Did you? Yeah. The voting is closed. Do you have an endorsement to from the final wand off?
So give me the quick rundown again. I'll know off the bat. Can you do that?
There was the Disney Melody. There was the Wu-Tang Clan. There was. The Billy Joel song, right. Then there was the Hallelujah song from Adam. There was the RHAP Can Can and the Bohemian Rhapsody.
So I'm going to go with Disney. They threw three movies in there. They had Aladdin.
Yeah.
And then what else? There was two other ones. It was great.
The Disney medley.
Yeah, I'm my vote's Janet for the Disney medley.
There you go.
Yeah, Janet and Will, you got my vote.
See, I thought you were going to say Bohemian Rhapsody because I know you're you and Kelly are Queen fans from when Wyatt was born, that you guys had We Are the Champions playing.
Right. Yes, I am a huge Queen fan, and I've spent a lot of time.
They should have played that at the finale for you when read the final vote.
I don't know, the Ben dropped a bomb on you one. I forget. Like, I think that that song has been a theme song around the house. Not only
I'll send it to you.
Okay, yeah, because the original one is great too. So yeah, my Wyatt walks around the house.
Dropped a bomb on you, Chrissy.
It's great. It's great.
Ben, we have a hashtag for this marathon podcast?
Wow. A hashtag again. Like, I feel like Steven, right? Because at the end when Steven's oh, no, a hashtag.
Why do you ask me this? I don't know, because it's what we do on every podcast for the last 6 years.
Right. Like, you didn't know it was coming. So let's do hashtag Steven's hashtag.
Hashtag Steven's hashtag in honor of Steven Fishback. Okay.
There we go. Mr. Fishback himself.
Yeah. Okay. Well, again, Ben, congratulations on everything. Really appreciate all the time. Are you excited for Ghost Island?
I'm excited. Yeah, absolutely. I get to watch Survivor again, right? Yeah. Like, it's going to.
Survivor Wednesdays are back.
Survivor whip. Kids go in the room. Me and Kelly get a drink of wine a little early and watch Survivor. So we're happy.
Were you disappointed that the Upside Down U doesn't get to go to Ghost Island now?
What if it does? What if it's the actual?
Well, you won. It doesn't go to Ghost Island.
You don't know. You don't know. Wait, because that.
I think Lauren's shell and then your Dr. Mike sperm staff, I think, are both going to be on Ghost Island.
Oh my God. Can you imagine if the sperm staff just happens to make an appearance? Like, that would be hilarious. Like, you are not the father. Wait, what happened? What happened? We're on a different show now.
All right. Ben, thank you again so much. If people want to follow Ben, are you keeping up with the social media?
Down? No, I'm on it. I still have it. I will be back. Like, I'm not active on it, I guess. Right,
you're taking a break. If you want to go and wait for King Ben to return to social media, follow at Dreebergen Ben.
Yeah. I think that's one of them, right? Which one is that?
That's Twitter.
That's the Twitter. And then there's an Instagram out there too.
Okay. That one, I don't know. I'll go look for that one.
I don't know what it is either.
Okay. All right, Ben, thank you so much. Best to everybody, okay?
All right, Rob, have a good one. Thank you so much.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Ben Dreebergen, your Survivor winner. Great job by Ben going through everything with me from this season. I really do appreciate it when these Survivor winners come on and take so much time out to give us the whole story of what happened. And I really appreciate Ben doing that with us here today. And so we've got a lot more coming up here on Rob Has a Podcast. Of course, the surprise podcast series that's taking the internet by storm, the Love Know-It-Alls, is going to be back again at the probably Monday, have a new episode up for you guys. And we got another great guest, or our first guest is going to be joining us, and it's another Survivor winner. And I'll leave it as a blind item for you guys to guess who is going to be on with us on the next edition of the Love Know-It-Alls. And then, of course, much more amazing race coverage coming up as well. We're 2 weeks into the Amazing Race 30, and the ratings have really been great for the Amazing Race. So everybody's talking about the Amazing Race 30. Got a lot of great coverage going on. That's the other surprise smash hit, the Amazing Race 30. We've got recaps of the first two episodes, plus exit interviews as well. And of course, I mentioned it at the top of the show. If you want even more Rob Has a Podcast, we've got so much going on between all of the behind the scenes shows and the Facebook group and all of the other incentives that we have for our patrons. Check it out anytime. Go to robhasawebsite.com/patron or click on one of the banners on robhasawebsite.com. Hope everybody enjoyed this chat with Ben as much as I did. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
That old Marine really caused a scene. At Tribal, yes, it's true. You were aggravated, said he exaggerated. He really got to you, but you can't vote him out.
Been dropped a bomb on you, Chrissy. Been dropped a bomb on you.
No, you can't vote him out.
Been dropped a bomb on you, Chrissy. Been dropped a bomb on you.
Even Ryan Grinned, the bin bomb dropped again. He would have never guessed. Roger think it's just commotion, ain't no massive explosion. No, you're just not impressed, but you can't vote him out.
Been dropped a bomb on you, Chrissy. Been dropped a bomb on you.
No, you can't vote him out.
Been dropped a bomb on you, Chrissy. Been dropped a bomb on you.
No, I didn't. That's a little more extreme than it needs to be. It's a little ridiculous. That's all. It's not that big of a deal.